Welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Phone number 866-901-ADAM. Morning, Dave. Morning, Teresa.
Good morning.
Good times. We have wide open phone lines. I never say that, but there's nobody on the phone. So if you want to talk, now's the time to do it. Later on, people call up, they wake up, and then we don't get to talk to you. I would like to talk to you.
Adam's on the phone.
What's the phone number?
866-901-ADAM. All right. Well, let's see. Former New Jersey Governor James McGreevy is going to be on the show today.
I am a gay American.
That's him, huh?
Yeah.
Where do we think he was from? Spain? What? Here's the whole thing. Just because you put American behind stuff doesn't make it a... I am a... I'm an American pedophile, ladies and gentlemen. You can't just... I'm an arsonist. I'm an American arsonist. Can't just shove American behind stuff and have us all go, you know what? He's right. And he's okay with me. Hey, we're at least half of what he is. I'm an American myself. It's a blowhardy move to ask him about that. The other blowhardy move, I got to say, if I was a politician, I have an experiment. I've always thought, as a politician, I think I could win almost any election by saying nothing but ending everything with, we're going to send a message to those fat cats in Washington. I'd say, when I'm elected, I'll be dining exclusively on the fetus of homeless people. I'll be eating their fetuses, and then I'll be using their dried out bones as kindling to heat my house. Let's send a message to those fat cats in Washington. Everyone would just start clapping every time. I believe that gas prices should go up $100 a gallon for everyone but me. Oh, now you know I'm not lying. You're the Japanese flu.
What are you going to do in office?
Once I'm in office, I'm going to erect a wall around the city of Encino. And then I'm going to move the entire contiguous United States inside of that wall in Encino. I'm not lying. I'll do it. All right. Look, we got to give either music or flutes, right? It's one or the other. And where was I? Yeah. All right. Don't worry about it, Brian. It's early. Getting in the swing of things.
A rare misstep for you, Brian.
I
thought it'd be funnier if someone disagreed with you and you were like, oh, yeah, and the flute came out. That's what I was trying to say.
Yeah.
I
see. That'd be right. Well, let's try that.
Okay.
Well, when I'm elected, I will enact by Logan's Run rule for chicks only. No chick over 33 shall live. You'll all be killed on your 33rd birthday. I will carry this out as well. I absolutely will do it.
Congressman, I don't think you're going to do anything like that.
No, you don't believe me? How about you talk to my Japanese friend with the piccolo? Okay. Honey, you're 32 and a half. I'd be heading for the mountains with a sterno can if I were you. We will catch up to you. It's just a matter of when. It's enough, Saki.
Nicely done.
Thank you, Emma!
Yes, thank you. I saw the news. At once a year, maybe those of you who are familiar with my rants are probably familiar with all of them, including this one. But this one always drives me the most insane. Once a year, and it's usually somewhere around this time, the good folks over at Victoria's Secret come out with their $6 million bra.
Yes.
They get some piping hot blonde. She's 19. She's from some, you know, former Soviet republic. And they put the $6 million. It's always the talk. Hey, it's a $6 million bra. It's a $6 million bra. And then you think to yourself, what does this $6 million bra look? Probably the size of the state of Minnesota. Can you imagine the boobs that must fill those cups? $6 million bra. It's probably got a car attached to it or something. I mean, what could a $6 million bra look like? Oh, I see. It looks like a $9 bra with $5 million worth of diamonds stuck to it. That's that's the $6 million bra. Then there's the $10,000 martini. $10,000 martini must be the size of an Olympic swimming pool. Nope. It's a $6 martini. It has a $10,000 diamond that they've dropped into it. Hello, people. You can't just throw diamonds at crap and make it into the $20 million version of. I have a 1972 Chevy Vega. It's $20 million.
Wow.
Yes, there's a diamond in the glove box. What? And how? And please, can we stop falling for this ruse? This new, hey, it's a $6 million burger. It's a hammer. It's got a diamond on it. It's a drop. You can't throw diamonds, or I'll do you one better. Why don't you just take a check for $6 million and duct tape it to the bra? How about that?
It might be a little bulky.
I'll show you $6 million set of headphones. I'll show you $6 million Dixie cup. I'll show you $6 million beanie. Tad's underpants will be worth $6 million. Get my checkbook. What the hell is this? So why do we go for it each time? Look, next time you announce something is worth this much, it has to be worth that much. Not the junk on it is worth that much. Jesus Christ. That drives me nuts. And I always kind of fall for it. It's a $10,000 martini. $10,000 martini. Who would? Could you imagine it'd be like $1,200 a sip? I think to myself. And then you realize, no, not unless you eat the diamond. As a matter of fact, look, I don't want anything that's worth $10,000 where I can stick my finger in, pull out a pebble, and make it worth $6. All right. I'm very upset about this. Fernando?
Hey, what's up, Adam? How's it going?
What's going on?
Nothing much. Hey, you know, I've been a disciple of your philosophy since I was like 13 years old.
Thank you.
Dad.
Is it working out for you?
Yeah, well, hey, I was wondering, you're a carpenter for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
What's your opinion on construction rentals, if you ever had to go to like to a rental yard?
Oh, That is a certain breed of cat who works behind the counter of that place.
Does he mean rent the tools?
Yeah, you go there and you rent one of those ditch witches or some propane powder powered slab grinder. And then there's the weird rental. Like, I understand you need a backhoe for 2 days. You don't buy a backhoe. The backhoe is $20,000. So you go rent the backhoe. But you can go to the tool rental place and rent like a cordless drill or a couple of drill bits or something, which is weird. Like, look, if something costs more to rent than it would cost just to go to the Sears or the Home Depot and buy new, what are you doing? How pathetic can it be? It's like the people you hear about, you know, you turn on the TV and you go, hey, I rent my TV set. It's awesome. I rent my box spring. It's awesome. What else do you rent? You rent your tumblers?
You rent, you know, like your
coffee mugs? Yeah, all that stuff's good. I'll tell you, though, there are some, usually women behind the counter.
Really?
Dude, it's a sausage fest where I work at, dude.
Oh, really? You work there? I find some of the homeliest women in the United States behind the counters of those places, and then the dudes are out there in the yard.
Now, here's the thing, though. Where I work at, it's on a busy street corner, and there's all kinds of prostitutes passing all the time.
Oh, well, good for you.
Those are the women that we look at all day, you know, just the prostitutes coming by, you know, Hollywood.
That's what you call a perk. Where you? You're out here in Hollywood?
No, I'm out in Santa Ana.
Santa Ana. What's the name of your place? We'll give it a plug.
SMB Rentals. SMB Rentals.
Mm-hmm. All right, Fernando.
Hey, man. Great talking to you, man.
Good to talk to you. Now, what's the big plan, Fernando? Because working in a rental yard can't be it.
I don't know, man. Kind of what you do, I would love to be some sort of preacher dude like what you do, man, because you're just... I mean, you might not like the word because I know you're atheist, but what you're doing out there, you're doing a service.
Well, what would you say? Because right now you're speaking to my flock. What would you tell them? How would you win them over?
How would I win your flock over?
Mm-hmm.
You see, I would have to study under you or something. Like yesterday, I'm at this red light.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a green arrow, and it turns green. And just at that moment, you're going... And you're just going on some powerful rant, you know, like really like you have like the audience in the palm of your hand.
Mm-hmm.
And I took that red arrow.
You did?
Yeah, and I was like,
I like that.
You know, I felt motivated. I was like, dude, I got to do this right now.
Well, this is where it begins. Eventually, I buy some land in French Guyana.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And I create a little settlement. Aceberg, I call it. Got a nice buzz to it.
Hey,
and eventually, I start having sex with daughters. What's that, Fernando?
That sounds like a great place. Maybe you want to do it like in Costa Rica better, you know?
All right, I'll tell you what. I'll get some land. We'll go to Costa Rica. We can do a little surfing out there. And when I open the tool rental, I will call for you, Fernando, but I'll need you to leave at a moment's notice.
Oh, You got it, brother. You got it.
All right. Now, we're not going to speak directly over the phone, but here's how you'll know it's time to leave. One ring and then hang up. When your phone rings once and then hang up, put whatever. I don't care if you have eggs cooking on the stove. Don't even turn the flame off. Just head right for the airport.
All right.
All right, my brother.
All right. Great talking to you, man.
And then hang up, take off. I don't care where you are. I don't care if you're in your bathrobe. Start moving for the airport, and I'll see you in Costa Rica. Oh, yes. Yes. Well, somebody handed me a note, namely Dave Damashek, and he's correct. We're looking for a new guy to shave his body. Fernando?
You want to shave his body?
I'm guessing you don't have a whole lot of hair on you.
Nah, I'm a pretty hairy dude, man.
Are you?
Sweet. Yeah, I got some weird blood in me, so.
Well, where are you from?
I'm from here, but my parents are from El Salvador.
Not a hairy breed over there, normally.
It's a weird hairy breed. Really, really hairy chest, really hairy mid-stomach, but no hairy obliques.
Huh.
And then your legs are hairy, you know?
Hairy obliques is my new porn name. Move over, Duke Lacrosse. All right, Fernando. I need someone with hairy obliques.
All right, then.
It's your Irish porn name.
It's not a bad PI name either.
Yeah.
Coming to NBC this fall, Harry Obliques. Harry, you son of a gun. This is a 12-year vet at the Chicago Police Department until he got into a blowout with his CO. Now he's taking on his own. You know, do that thing where he slammed down his tin and his piece, threw it down, you know. Don't worry, he had another one in his sock. I like when the guy tells him, turn in your shield. There's that part where, has any cop ever, like, according to every cop movie, there's some certain point where they have to slap down their badge and their piece, you know? Drop it off, Harry. You're not leaving the building. But in a movie, or in real life, has anyone ever really, is that how you retire? Is that how you resign from the police force? By slapping your shield down, by taking your badge and just slapping it on the desk of your commanding officer?
It's probably less dramatic. You probably go to human resources.
Probably a lot of paperwork and stuff like that. Then at a certain point, at a later date, they ask for that. And then you have to send it via registered mail. You get a receipt because you can write off the $8 it costs to send it via the mail. But it's probably not that part where you rip it off and slap it down all the time. Let's see. Crystal wants to go. Wait a second. Crystal?
Yes?
You want to go to the Playboy Mansion?
Actually, I'd like to get the tickets for my boyfriend.
Oh, well, that's different. Why didn't you say, get lost?
Boo! Boo! Boo!
I don't even know what that is. What is that, Brian? What is that?
Was it from, or what was it?
Was that from one of your nerd movies or something?
Princess Bride.
Yeah. Oh, really? Huh? All right.
Ding.
I don't remember that part. Let's see. I would call that one of your nerd movies. Crystal?
Yeah.
Sorry. You want to do something to yourself?
I'm willing to get into a tub of blue dye and dye my whole body blue and walk around for a Smurf as long as it's still on.
What are you going to be wearing?
Whatever I would need to be wearing.
Well, a bikini?
I could wear a bikini. I don't know if you... I mean, I'm not the skinniest person, but I'm not fat.
That's the thing. I'd rather you either be fat or skinny. I don't like the ones that are hovering. At least if you're fat, we can make fat jokes. If you're skinny, you look great in your bikini. But the ones who aren't skinny and aren't fat, there's nothing there for me.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Based on your usual radio math, can you guess her weight?
She's willing to do something insane for tickets for somebody other than herself, namely her boyfriend. So that immediately adds 30 pounds. To the mix. Not skinny, not fat means not skinny. It means somewhere between husky and fat. Crystal?
Yes.
How tall are you?
5'10".
5'10". And what's your weight?
190.
Let me do some quick radio math here. Dave, what's 2 times 3?
7?
7? Is it 7? 2 times 3 is 7?
That'd be 6.
6. And then, here's the one I always got confused with. 0 plus 2 is still two.
Yeah.
But then zero times two, that's four, right?
Zero.
Still zero. All right. I mean two. Still two.
Zero times anything is zero.
Okay. And then zero plus anything is...
the number.
The number that it was. Okay. So... I have you at 5'8 in 31-30 seconds. So you're almost 5'9 and 209 pounds. Sorry, Crystal. And let me explain this.
About her weight or her
bad Yes, everything.
Phone
line. Here's everything. Here's and especially things I'm about to say. If you are 190 pounds, if you announce, look, the radio is about the same as your driver's license, maybe even more so, because at least you have a set of eyeballs verifying your weight when you do that. If you say you're 190, look, if a woman is 140 and she's talking to a guy at a party, she's going to say she's 130. I mean, that's just the way it is. Everybody will do that. I've had guys tell me they were 6 foot who I was 4.5 or 5 inches taller than, thinking, well, then good, because I'm now 6'8. I thought I was 6'2, but now I'm 6'8 because my chin is resting on the top of your head, but you're a full 6 foot. So people will lie eye to eye. On the radio, if someone says they're 190, they're 200 pounds quite easily. Quite easily. And if you're 200 pounds and you're a woman, you're fat. I'm sorry. And if you're a guy, oftentimes you're fat as well. But if you're well under 6 foot and you're 200 pounds, you're fat. I think a lot of people, it's weird because we seem to have taken the country and broken it into two halves. We have the half that's 5'11", 133 pounds, looks in the mirror and sees Big Tad. Just can't stop vomiting up lunch, can't stop working, can't stop eating, you know, protein shakes because they are perpetually fat no matter how thin they actually are. Then we have another side of the country, which is 250 pounds and thinks she looks pretty hot in those ski pants. No problemo. Hey, I'm 5'6". I'm not 5'3". I'm not 300 pounds. I'm only 235. So it's weird. I feel like we need to take them and meet them in the middle somehow. Have them... show up at the Mississippi River and let's see if we can work this out. I feel like I want to tell the 110 pounders that are 6 foot, look, you are not fat. You're not fat at all. What you're doing is not attractive. It doesn't look good. You need to put on a few pounds. Fatties, we need to talk over here. You've been calling yourselves big boned or ample bosomed for too long. You are officially fat. All right, we need to take a break. Let's see. We want to keep going with this Playboy thing. We have tickets to give away. 26, Playboy Mansion. We're going to do a show at night. My wife wants to go, I heard.
Oh, is she going to come?
Nah.
What?
I told her this is work, baby. Then she said, is Cindy Damischek going to go? And I thought, I don't know. And then she said, if Cindy goes, can I go? And then I said, well, yeah, if Cindy goes. And then I thought, I'm going to have to see that Cindy doesn't go.
Is
I don't
Cindy
know if
going?
She was planning on going, Dave.
No.
Now, would you have said that if I hadn't set it up that way?
No. She was never going.
She was never going to go.
No.
Fantastic. Good. All right.
What about Crystal? Now that you know that she's 200 pounds and would dye herself blue, does that enhance?
I got to tell you, the Playboy Mansion, I've been there a few times, and there's something I know, and Hef told me never to talk about it on the air, but he's old. He doesn't have many years. I could take him, and I'll talk about this. They have what's sort of like one of those truck scales where you don't have to step up onto it. You just roll past it. It's a weight-sensitive threshold as you enter the yard. Now, not through the front door. It's not there, but you don't walk through the front door of the mansion to get into the mansion. You walk through a side path. There is a panel that's weight sensitive, and if that crosses 153 pounds, you will be pulled up in a net and with a sprung palm tree. You'll hang there in it till we come cut you down. That's how he works it. He had it installed years ago. He'll adjust it periodically, but it's at 153 now, so Crystal would not make it in. We need to take a break. We got tickets to give away this Playboy Mansion show we're doing. We have a guy who was going to call. He was going to come in, and we're going to shave half of his body. He's backed out at the last moment. So we're looking for a new Patsy contestant, I mean. We're looking for a new contestant to come in and do that. We're going to do half your body, half your hair, half your leg, half your beard, if you have one. Give us a call, 866-901-AM. We'll take a quick break. Be back after this.
This is what's coming up this morning on the Adam Carolla Show with Program Director Jack Silver.
Sup, peeps? It's go time. Hey, we're giving away tickets to Vegas and the Playboy Mansion. We also got Hooters and Blowjobs. Hey, it's about friggin' time.
That's Hootie and the Blowfish.
Oh, crap, I gotta get my bifocals. Oh, hey, we do have Captain Blow.
That's Captain Blow Hard.
Damn it, that's twice I've been disappointed. Oh, hey, the good news is we got former gay governor from New Jersey, James McGreevy. Hey, that's exciting for a gay guy, not me. I'm not gay. Late.
Thanks, Jack. Call 866-901-ADAM. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Yep. Captain Blowhard we introduced last week. We'll be pulling the tarp off it and doing it again today. David Arquette. Known him for some time. Interesting guy. Don't think he's as crazy as he used to be, but I have a very interesting story about calling him crazy that we'll get into when he comes on. Hootie and the Blowfish, and I'm going to give away some tickets to Las Vegas for a big Tom Petty concert, the Vegas Festival, which we're all mystified by as far as the name goes. Not sure why it's called Vegas, but we got tickets, and you know it is Vegas and Tom Petty. So we're trying to give some tickets away to the Playboy Mansion because we're going to be there the 26th. And as I've said about the Playboy Mansion, I went and saw Siegfried and Roy about 3 years ago. We were in Las Vegas. We were doing Crank Yankers. I was with a bunch of hipsters, a bunch of L.A. cool guys, and David Alan Greer was there, too. And I announced, look, tonight, let's go see Siegfried and Roy. And they're all like, oh, please. Are you kidding? That doesn't sound like fun. They're making fun of me. I said to everybody, look, if there were a lot of people like yourself, Hollywood hipster types, cool folks in 1978 or 1977 who laughed when they talked about going and seeing Elvis. Somebody said, hey, let's head down to the Hilton and see Elvis. Oh, pff, please. Come on. Pure Prairie League is playing over at the Stardust. Get hip, man. Get now. This is what's happening. You want to see that old bloated, dried up remnant from the 50s? Well, then he died a month later, and you wish you had. I'm glad that I went and saw Siegfried and Roy. I really am, because he got mauled by that tiger. First off, I announced it. These guys aren't going to be going on forever. And then one day, you'll want to go, yeah, I saw him once. The guy gets mauled by the tiger, really, like 2 months later. And then I said, see, to everyone who couldn't remember what we were talking about. My point is Hef ain't going on forever. And when he goes, that mansion's going to go with him.
And it won't be Monocore taking him down.
That's right. It'll be the Grim Reaper that's going to take him. And like I said, the mansion, it'll always be the mansion, but it's never going to be while Hef was around. So you want to get in there. And you want to do anything it's going to take to get in there, such as shave half your body. Alfred?
Yep.
You're in Los Angeles?
Yep.
What's your nationality?
I look white, but I'm actually Mexican.
Doesn't sound hairy to me. Although I do appreciate the attempt to look white. You know, if more folks would try to look white, imagine the utopia. Imagine if all the Asians and the Mexicans and the blacks and the Eskimos and the American Indians, imagine if they all just tried to look white. Wow. Although it would be tough because you'd tell some off-color joke and you wouldn't know that the guy was actually the butt of the joke that you're talking about. But anyway, like I said, tip of the hat to you, Alfred, for trying to look
white. Hey, where are the white women at?
What do you got as far as hair on the body?
Hair on the body, not too much hair on the chest.
Yeah. All right, well, that's enough. I need a hairy guy.
How hard is it to find one? It seems like they're everywhere.
Evidently, they have a lot of pride.
Oh.
Or they're gainfully employed or something. Someone ought to check into that. Maybe guys with hairy backs try harder.
They have
like
to.
The handicapped. They're not weighed down with vaginas. They're not off getting laid and boozing that night before. They're just home crying, thinking about how to handle the problem on their back. And they show up to work bright and early, and they overcompensate. They're sort of like the nerds in high school that are now running the big Fortune 500 companies. Now they're overcompensating. The guys who got laid in high school, no fire in their belly. Let me say this. Everyone wants to get laid in high school. When you get laid in high school, it extinguishes your fire. See, that fire in your belly you have when you're in high school, and if it's being doused with Massengale, you'll never go anywhere. All the guys I know who, think about the guys you know who got consistent amounts of tail in high school. Now, I'm not necessarily saying college or even when you get out into the business world, but at the high school level, early, especially those guys that were like in the 9th and 10th grade that were getting laid left and right, they're not doing anything right now. They're just coasting. They didn't have the fire. Then there are guys like Brian over here. Sound effects guy like Brian. Unclear whether he's gotten laid yet. He's 27 years old. Point is,
he's 28.
This kid's got a squirrel running on that wheel in his belly, and that thing's going overtime, baby.
But he's ambitious because vagina did not extinguish the flame.
That's right. That's right.
Goodbye.
That's right. He's hungry. Brent? Although, I don't know what would explain Big Tad. Every once in a while, someone gets through the crack. Someone who can't fit through a crack. Brent? Drop the F-bomb. Boy, I got to say, imagine a guy calling FM morning radio shows willing to shave his body for some Playboy tickets and then using the F-word. Just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make sense.
It's counterintuitive.
Yeah, let's talk to Bill. Bill?
Yes.
How hairy are you?
Man, I got a hairy chest, a hairy back, hairy legs. I'm hairy all over.
Mm-hmm. How you doing in the beard department?
Well, you know, I can grow one. I don't have one right now, but in 2 days, I'm bushy on the face.
Mm-hmm. And how about on top of the head?
Oh, full head of hair. Full head of hair.
Full head of hair.
Full head of hair.
Mm-hmm. You're out in L.A.?
Yes, I am.
What do you do for a living?
I'm a production manager for an industrial company.
Mm-hmm. All right. What's your nationality?
I'm half Puerto Rican, and my father's from Arkansas, so who the heck knows what the other half is?
Right. So you would consider yourself hairy?
Yes. In fact, my last girlfriend called me her furry man.
Mmm. That's what I wanted to hear, my friend. Hang on a second, because that sounds pretty good. On the other hand, Anthony over here says he has a beard. See, my idea is to shave one half of a person. Actually, my idea is to have Tad shave one half of a guy while I watch through the glass in delight. But I thought it would be really funny if the guy had a beard and a full head of hair, and we could shave half the beard and then half his head, but we'd do it on the opposite side.
Yeah, Picasso.
Yeah, nice. Let's talk to Anthony. Anthony?
Adam, my man.
You have a beard?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. How long is it?
It's a good long. My goatee here is probably a good inch and a half, 2 inches long.
Goatee?
Goatee and beard. And beard, yeah.
Well, how do you have a goatee and a beard?
I guess that's kind of not possible, but
okay.
I have a goatee, and it's grown, and the beard's grown in, and the goatee's just longer.
I see. That's a good look. That's a badass look. The guy who has two beards. He has the one he was growing, and then he let the other one go. It's unclear how you can actually sport two beards, but it is a tough guy look. You show me a guy, like, I'll show you. There's no more macho look than the guy who has the handlebar mustache, but he doesn't shave for a week, too. Get that sort of Kurt Gibson thing going. You know, it's that lumberjack who's been away at lumber camp for a few weeks. He had a nice clean big mustache, but now he has sort of half a beard and then the pronounced mustache. It's nice. And what about the rest of your body, Anthony?
I got a nice hairy front going on. Nothing on the back, thank God, but the front's good.
Okay. Well, I don't know if you're going to thank your God for not getting those tickets, but he does have the hair on the face, but Bill still was called the furry little friend by his ex-girlfriend, so I like that. I don't know if we're going to do better than someone who was called furry ironically as a pet name from his ex-girlfriend, but we can try Wes. Wes?
Yes.
What's up? How you doing in the hair department?
Excellent. Got a beard, got a full head of hair, got some man fur on the chest.
Mm-hmm.
Hairy arms.
Yeah. How's it going? How's the back doing?
Not too much hair, a little bit.
Okay. But how's the beard? Goatee, mustache, or full beard?
Full beard.
Full beard. And how about the hair on top of the head?
About 3 inches long on the top. Full head.
Hmm. Jeez. I don't know. What do you guys think? You guys have any opinions? I like Bill, the furry guy. Wes has the beard.
First guy to get into the studio.
First guy to get in the studio.
I like that.
Yeah, that's what Brian said, too.
I like that. I mean, drive safely, but
yeah,
get here.
Okay.
Better yet, wreck and then call us after you wreck.
Good radio. Yeah. If there are flames involved with the wreck,
it's a great show. A lot of fun.
All right, Bill.
Yeah.
I don't know where you're calling from, but if you get here first, we'll shave you first, and you'll get those tickets first.
Oh, it's this morning. First thing this morning?
Mm-mm.
Oh, boy. I can't wait. Just getting ready to walk in the door of work. Sorry.
No. All right.
Goodbye.
Something tells me you wouldn't be missed if you didn't
Goodbye.
Show up.
Goodbye.
Let's try Wes again. Wes.
Yes.
I'm sorry for a little misunderstanding. Please come down to the studio. We're dying to have you.
Double damn. I can't make it either. I'm on my way to work.
Uh-oh.
All right, Big Tad. Work this stuff out in advance. Don't give me that puss. All right. It's to blame Kyle, the phone screener. Well, now it continues. Now we have Anthony, who has a beard. Anthony.
Yes.
Can you make it down here?
I'm on the 405 at Howard Hughes Parkway. Where do I need to go?
Get off on Howard. Well, no. Keep going on the 405.
Okay, 405.
Which way are you heading? You heading north?
Northbound to Valencia.
Okay, keep going. I would say get on to the 10. Get on the 10 eastbound. Get off on Fairfax. Go down.
Go north on Fairfax.
Yeah, go north on Fairfax. Yeah?
Okay.
And look for the giant microphone. No, hold on. We'll get to the rest, but that'll get you started for a couple of beats. All right, Anthony will come down here. Now, according to my calculations, he can be here in about 15 to 20 minutes or so. Now,
might be some
traffic. Depends how traffic's doing. Well, 405 shouldn't be going too bad that direction, but maybe it is down on Howard Hughes, whatever. He's down by the airport. He'd be here in 20 minutes. It's only 6:30 in the morning. Not too much in the traffic department. All right. Well, let's put that on the back burner for now. We'll keep you posted. But let's talk a little about the news, and then we'll get to it. T, what is coming up?
Yes. Well, there was actually a fist fight, apparently, on the set of Grey's Anatomy. I'll tell you which McDoctors were throwing fisticuffs. Mm-hmm. And also, Mel Gibson, what makes him not drink?
Mm-hmm. All right.
Surprising answer.
I'm going to go with his publicist. Take a quick break. We'll be right back with news and sports after this.
And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Elkton, Maryland. A seven-year-old boy is being credited for saving his brother's life on a Boy Scouts camping trip. The boy gave his 12-year-old brother the Heimlich maneuver when he began choking on a piece of bacon. Definitely not a Jew.
Yeah, the big three there. You have camping, Heimlich, and bacon.
Yep.
Three things a Jew has never performed or participated in. All right, well, speaking of Jews, Teresa Strasser's got the news.
Yankees pitcher Corey Lytle boarded a single-engine plane yesterday afternoon with an instructor for what was supposed to be a brief flight around New York City. They took off from a suburb in New Jersey. They circled around the Statue of Liberty. They flew past Lower Manhattan. And then something went wrong about 20 minutes into the flight. The plane smashed into a high-rise condo on the Upper East Side, killing Lytle and the other passenger, a flight instructor. It's unclear still who was actually piloting the plane. New Yorkers seeing the plane fly into the building were anxious about terrorism and very nervous, but Mayor Bloomberg told everyone it was just an accident. No one knows why he flew into the building. Maybe he wasn't as experienced a pilot as you'd hope.
Let me say a few things. This has been all over the news for the last 20 hours so. I mean, it happened
it
a little bit later 2:30
yesterday.
2:30 Eastern. All right. So it's been all over the news. I've heard nonstop coverage on this. But I've not heard if anyone was in the condo. I assume they weren't. To me, that's a story. Who was home? Were they at work? Was the nanny at home with the kid? Was there any, you know, the guy had just come up and gotten his keys and was heading down the elevator, the guy who lived in that unit. Obviously, whoever was in that unit and maybe whoever was in the neighboring two units would be killed immediately when this plane collided with it. Not one word, not one utterance of if anyone lived there, if a family lived there, if a single guy lived there, if they were home, if they were out of town, if they're at work. I assume nobody was killed inside of the condo. To me, when a missile hits a building, and essentially that's what that is, you're worried about the two guys that were riding the missile. What about who was in the building that it hit? Not a word.
Well, here's the amazing thing. There were two fatalities, obviously the two people flying in the plane. 21 people were hospitalized. Most of them were firefighters.
Mm-hmm.
So there were no fatalities other than from inside the plane.
So evidently nobody was home at the condo.
It was 2:30.
Which is fine. Just when you're telling the effing news story, why don't you just weave in the part where nobody was in the condo? It didn't hit a wheat silo. It hit a condo in Manhattan. There's people that oftentimes live in condos, hence the name condo. Now, the other part of the story that's ridiculous is when they explain that planes scrambled, F-18s, F-16s. They scrambled them in L.A. and they scrambled them in New York.
D.C.
Yeah, D.C. That doesn't instill a lot of confidence in the ace man.
Just the term scramble?
Cessna. Well, I don't mind scramble. The fact that a Cessna on a sightseeing tour runs into a building and we got to scramble F-16s in Los Angeles, we don't know enough about what's going on to know that this Cessna just ran into the side of a building. I know it's not a Cessna, but a small plane just hit a building. We have to scramble. I mean, to me, that just like, it's panicky, right?
Well, I guess people are extra cautious in these post 9/11 times.
I understand, but shouldn't we have a little better handle on what's going on?
Yes.
So every time there's a small plane crash, we have to scramble F-18s? Is that how it works?
Well, I think we're supposed to feel very secure that all of this happened.
See, I think they want us to feel secure with the scrambling of the F-18. To me, it's like you poke a guy in the shoulder and he turns around and starts giving the windmill, arms just flailing everywhere. That guy doesn't instill confidence in me, number one. And then, number two, I've thought about this all the time. Remember when a small plane just, I don't know, landed on the White House lawn or flew
yes.
over the White House
yeah.
or whatever it was some years back? One of these airplanes could hold a couple thousand pounds worth of plastic explosives. They're not regulated. They can take off from the thousands of small airports that are scattered about the country. Why hasn't one of these things just loaded up with TNT and flown into the White House? It would seem like a pretty easy thing to do, considering we're always caught off guard when they do something.
You're right. It's very scary to think that, yeah, guy just flew right in to a condo and it could have been anybody. Unfortunately, you hate to see fatalities, but at least it wasn't a terrorist who was intending to hurt people.
Scramble those F-18s. Something happened 3,000 miles away. We don't know what it is. Go ahead. Start scrambling.
Well, in entertainment news, we touched on this yesterday, but Yahoo Finance reported, you know, Lycos keeps track of searches on the internet, and there was a report on the most Googled radio personalities. The number two most Googled radio personality, Adam Carolla.
Yeah.
Yeah, now this is surprising for a number of reasons. First of all,
let's just stick to the top, let's say 29 or 30, and we're going to get on with the sports and the rest of the show.
Well, here are some people who fell out of the top 20 this year. Larry King, Dr. Laura, Man Cow, pretty big radio personalities. Here are people who are in the top 20, but well beneath you, Adam. Mm. Tom Likas is 17th.
We called Tom's spokesperson for a comment, and she said, blah.
We enjoy him, but he is not very often searched. You knocked off Rush Limbaugh. He was number two. Now he's number five.
Mm.
You're ahead of Don Imus, Sean Hannity,
Yeah, I know. There was a nice little jab that was in the article that said I wasn't on the radar this time last year.
It does say that.
Then somebody figured out, and they're probably right, that Loveline was the name of the radio show I was on. God forbid there's ever a newscast that has just a little bit of an explanation or some accuracy. I did a very popular nationally syndicated radio show that was called Loveline. If you wanted to find out, this is a song we used to play at the beginning or the end. At the end, if you wanted to find out about the show I was on, you would type in Loveline. Now, if you wanted to find out about the Rush Limbaugh radio show or Opening Anthony or Mark and Brian or Kevin and Bean or Howard Stern, you would punch in the names.
Right.
Obviously,
exactly.
You would punch the names in, but not Loveline. Loveline, you would punch in Loveline. You probably wouldn't punch in Adam Carolla. So that might explain it, because I don't know any other explanation from going from zero to number two.
This is logical. In fact, the article on Yahoo says Carolla's search activity did not even register a blip on the radar last year. His massive surge in popularity is most likely due to the fact that he began his morning radio show in January 2006, or as you said, that last year people would Google the word Loveline.
Well, they had a lot of, there was tons of unofficial Loveline web pages and tons of kids who would do their, you know, it was in that demographic. A lot of pent-up 17 and 15-year-old boys who were sitting home who were computer savvy who would do their own Loveline thing. So that's probably why the zero to number two in the course of
eight months. It's impressive, seeing as most of the other people in the top 20 are nationally syndicated.
Maybe they're just Googling my name to find out what the F is wrong with this guy. Why isn't he funny?
I don't think so.
Who is he? And why isn't he funny? And why am I Googling his name?
Mel Gibson.
Maybe they Googled to find out why they're Googling.
Mel Gibson on Good Morning America this morning and tomorrow with Diane Sawyer. Now, I have a clip, an exclusive clip, where Mel discusses the one thing that can stop him from boozing.
Even fear, the risk of everything, life, limb, family, is not enough to keep you from it. That's the hell of it. You are indefensible against it. So you must keep that under arrest, in a sense. But you cannot do it of yourself. And people can help, but it's God. I'm gay.
You know, risking life and limb? Don't need the limb part. Life, that's big enough stakes for me. Or go risking limb and life.
Right. Limb is a subset of life.
Yes, you could lose an arm or... even better, you could lose your own life. That would be even more tragic. But life and limb, it's flip-flopped.
Yes, well, limbs were flying on the set of Grey's Anatomy. A fight broke out on the set Monday, this according to the New York Daily News, between the actors portraying Dr. McDreamy, that's Patrick Dempsey, and Dr. Burke, that's Isaiah Washington. Now, apparently what happened, and both publicists are admitting this did happen, there was a heated exchange. The cast members were upset because a scene was delayed, and then Washington, plays Dr. Burke, grabbed McDreamy by the throat and shoved him. The actors' representatives are now saying that, differences are inevitable, but the fight's been resolved and everyone has moved on. But it's unusual that something like that would leak out.
Pulled a Sprewell on his ass.
Exactly.
He was originally supposed to be the Dr. McDreamy. Maybe he's a little PO'd that Dr. McDreamy's getting all the ink.
That's the theory in the news that he's jealous of McDreamy.
Yeah, Dr. McDreamy lived down the street from me for many a year, and we used to hang out, and...
You know McDreamy?
Yeah. I gotta say, ladies, if you spent some time with him, you probably wouldn't be as in love.
Why?
Not so much going on.
McBoring?
Nah.
Oh, yes.
Hanging out. Doing his thing.
Got it, doing his thing.
Not thinking so much about the medical world.
Okay, no. Okay. Enough said.
Yeah, maybe medical marijuana, but not... not the actual world of surgery.
Oh, mm-hmm. That kind of upsets me, but yeah. I still love him. Yep. I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
Oakland A's in a great deal of trouble after last night's Game 2 loss at home in the American League Championship Series to the visiting Detroit Tigers. 8-5 final. Two teams do it again tomorrow night. First of three in Motor City. A's may not see Oakland again until the spring. Over in the National League, Mets and Cardinals will try to get it on tonight. They had Game 1 rained out last night in New York City. Hey, we got the NFL football picks coming up for you tomorrow. I hope to rebound from my first ever losing week since we started on the show. Bad a week as I had last week. Of course, it resulted in me having to wear a dress for my lost bet to Chargers linebacker Sean Merriman. T.O. Terrell Owens maybe had an even worse one. Things didn't go so well for him during his visit to his former football town, Philadelphia. His Dallas Cowboys lost. And he thinks you'll be surprised to know it's because he didn't get the ball enough.
For me, I do question, you know, why am I here, you know? And that's not to create a story, but it's just like, you know, I want to win. I came here to help this team win.
The always tolerant head coach Bill Parcells responded by saying this.
I don't really want to talk about last week's game, and I'm going to drop the subject. But I will say that there were five more passes directed at him than any other receiver on the team, intent-wise.
Mm-hmm.
I said it.
Yeah,
I said it a couple weeks ago. I predict T.O. is not going to finish the season on the Cowboys roster, and it's shaping up.
I think he's going to be with the Ricky. What's his name in Canada coming up?
Ricky Williams.
Yeah.
Yes.
Is that McDreamy or Williams? McWilliams. Let me say this. Speaking of drops, T.O. drops a fair amount of balls. He really does. He is the most talented receiver. People call him the most talented receiver. That's after he catches the ball. Every game I see the guy play in, there's at least two or three passes where he's going over the middle, the ball hits him in the hands, and he drops it. If he'd hung on to those three or four drops that he gets almost every game, well, instead of getting three or four or five catches, he would get 8 or 9 or 10 catches. Instead of getting 45 or 50 yards, he'd get 85 or 100 yards, and there'd be no questions about it. So perhaps T.O. should hang on to the couple extra passes that are being thrown his way that would remedy this.
I hear your noise. Now, you referenced the CFL and Ricky Williams, another miscreant who couldn't even hang on in the CFL. Former Nebraska Cornhusker running back Lawrence Phillips. I'm sure you remember him. 10 years ago, it looked like he was on his way to being one of the generation's great NFL runners. Mm-hmm. Then he started slapping women around. He couldn't hang on with any pro teams. Now he's looking at a 20-year stretch in the clink for something he did last year. He wasn't happy, for some reason, with how a pickup football game had gone. So he ran a group of guys over with his car on the field.
Well, look, the guy's a competitor.
Yeah. He's been convicted of assault. Now, he's not a nice guy, but if I may play devil's advocate, I think in this case, Phillips ought to cite the precedent established in Air Bud. And if I may paraphrase, hey, I don't see it written anywhere in the rule book that a dog can't play football. Hey, I don't see anywhere in the rule book that I can't run over the defenders with my car.
That's what they do in all those good movies. Yes. You show me where it says a mule can't kick field goals, and I'll pull him off the field. But until then, coach, play on. Yes, there's nothing that says you can't take a Denali and run over the opposing team.
Yes, the flubber defense is what he should call it. Hey, a disturbing trend in sports over the last decade or so is these ads creeping in more and more to the fields of play. Started out with the Nike logo showing up on uniforms. Then the stadium started getting named after companies. Now we have in San Diego, Petco Park.
Ugh.
Louisville Cardinals play in Papa John's Stadium. Arizona Cardinals considered naming their new stadium the Pink Taco until wiser minds prevailed. Now Major League Soccer, the MLS, is set to become the first major sports team to start having players wear ads on the jerseys. And raising the bar even further, the Women's Tennis Tour, a devilishly clever ad man is come up with a new marketing ploy. You know how the women grunt when they hit the tennis ball. Listen to this.
Pepsi. Doritos. Big Mac.
Well, so instead of grunting.
Sports LA, we'll take you to the limit.
That's hideous, I think.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
My whole thing is, as long as the product fits the sport, I'm okay. The Petco, for instance. I just think of some pampered poodle, some pampered lap dog. I think of Paris Hilton and a Shih Tzu when I think about Petco. Yes, I'm disgusted by all of you. All right. We're going to take ourselves a break. Coming up, still, former governor of New Jersey, James McGreevy. In studio?
Yeah, he's right here. I'm looking at him right now. He's very dashing in a suit.
Geez, I just assumed, I don't know, former governor of New Jersey, guy we've heard of. Figured he'd be on a phone, possibly a walkie-talkie.
Yeah.
This is what, you know, here's how Mike August works the bookings. If you haven't heard of the person, they'll be in studio. If you have heard of them, they'll be on the phone. If you think you know them pretty well and you're a fan, they'll be talking to us via a soup can with a piece of yarn that's connected to the studio. But he is coming in person. Well, God love us. But first, we got some tickets to give away to the confusingly named Vegas. The Vegas Festival. We still haven't gotten to the bottom of why it's called Vegas, but it's in Las Vegas. The Killers are going to be there. Tom Petty is going to be there. It is a huge concert. I mean, the marquee is amazing. We'll be giving away tickets after this. So call up 866-901-ADAM, and we'll tell you how we play it.
Stick around, because Adam's giving away a trip to Las Vegas to the Vegas Festival October 28th and 29th to see Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, the Killers, and more. Get your tickets at Vegas.com. Stick around, back with more of the Adam Carolla Show. Back to the Adam Carolla Show.
It's Osvaldo, Tom Petty game.
If you can tell us which Tom Petty song Ozzy's singing, you can win a trip for two to Las Vegas.
You two win tickets to Vegas.
And tickets to the Vegas Festival.
You see, Tom Petty is the heartbreaker.
More information at Vegas.com. Call 866-901-ADAM. Because if you didn't need a translator, you'll be good at this one.
Si, es bueno.
Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
That's right. Tom Petty, the Killers, Fiona Apple.
Black Crows,
Roots, just keeps going and going and going. We were trying to figure out why it's called Vegas. Somebody's on the phone who started the festival. Ashley Capps?
That's me.
You started the Vegas Festival?
Well, with my partners, yes. There's a small group of us that came up with this concept two or three years ago, really, and then first produced it last year.
We had a nice conversation here after the show with number one talent booker Mike August, who really has one good ear and it's never facing me or anyone he's speaking to, because we asked him 22 times while he had his head buried in his laptop, why is it called Vegas? I don't understand. What's the significance of Vegas? Is it sponsored by Grey Goose Vodka or where? Or is the guy's name Goosenberg or Gosling or something? Where does the Vegas part come in? And he says, it's a play on Vegas. It's a play on Las Vegas. Yeah, but why Vegas? Because it's in Las Vegas. A play on Las Vegas.
We went through a process of months and months and months of throwing out different names and everything. And, you know, I think we all went out one night and had a really good night on the town, and everybody woke up with this, like, collective hangover, and it was like, Vegas, that's it.
That's it.
So, yeah, it was like a play on Vegas.
So there's no answer is the answer.
That it rhymed with Grey Goose, although they're certainly not a sponsor. But it was more a play on Vegas than anything else, and it just stuck.
If Grey Goose isn't a sponsor, why doesn't somebody contact them and ask them if they'd like to be a sponsor?
We're working on it, believe me.
All right. It's like me. I've called the Toyota Corporation every year for the last 12 years and said, you need the Ace Man to do a little pitch, and they politely decline.
You also called Ace Hardware.
That's right. No such luck. They did, however, contact Mark DiCarlo, which was a real slap in the face to me.
I haven't done the phone.
All right, so there's no good answer why it's Vegas.
Apparently, they were drinking when they came up with it, but not necessarily Grey Goose.
Still not sure what the answer is. I'll just go with no answer. All right, let's push forward with the horribly named Vegas. Look, here's the thing. With a concert name that bad, the bands have to be great.
Yes.
That would be my argument. It's my Smucker's argument for concerts. With a name this horrible, you know we got to rock. And like I said, Tom Petty's there and Fiona Apple and the Roots, and it just keeps going and going. Yeah, Black Crowes. So we're going to play a little game. Now, it's a trivia competition. You call in. You will try to decipher the great Oswaldo. He is going to sing Tom Petty songs. You tell us what Tom Petty song it is. You get three of them. You're in. Let's play the intro.
It's Osvaldo Tom Petty game. You to win tickets to be good to see Tom Petty the Heartbreaker.
Well, there you go. Let's start with Jeff. Jeff, you ready to play?
Oh, yeah.
Do you know Tom Petty songs?
I know Tom Petty.
All right. Well, let's start. Here we go.
Good Lord, hard to find. You got lucky, babe. You got lucky, babe. When I find you.
I have no idea.
All right. Not even going to talk to you then. Richard?
Yeah.
You know that song?
You got lucky, babe.
That's right. The clue was him saying it four times.
Yeah.
Consecutively. Yeah. There you go. That's right. I get the feeling if it was Inagata DeVita, our first caller wouldn't have gotten it either. Richard, you ready to go? You got to get three out of three.
All right, I'm trying.
Let's go with the next one.
Honey, I don't make a difference to me. Everybody had to fight to be free.
Wow. Oh, that's tough. We'll play it again. Can we play it again?
Honey, I don't make a difference to me. Everybody had to fight to be free.
Fight to be free?
Well, technically be fight to be free. No. Feel like I should give you a clue. I feel like that's a tough one.
Oh, yeah, give him a clue.
Half the people that live in this country were formerly these from their war-torn countries.
Say that again, Adam. Sorry.
Half the people that currently reside in this country were formerly designated these. That's the name of the song from their war-torn
Vietnam.
Regions. Vietnam, no. Sorry. Let's keep pushing forward here. Tad?
A refugee?
Yes. All right. Well, that is one.
Is that the name of the song?
It's called Refugee. Hold on, Tom left out the second B. He just said one B. So I'm going to have to talk to him about that. Tom, if you're listening, it's fight to BB free. All right, you got refugee. That is one. We'll call that one. Now you have two more to go. Let's listen carefully.
And I keep this world from dragging me down. Gonna stand my ground. And I keep this world from dragging me down. Gonna stand my ground.
Now, I'll give you a hint. Remember, Ozzy doesn't feel compelled to put letters at the end of words.
Yeah.
Like he's been pronouncing my name Al for the last 17 years. He doesn't realize there's an am at the end of it that needs to be pronounced. It's Adam, not Al. He just sort of coasts to a stop when it comes to most things. So if you... I know it sounded like he said word, but there's some other letters in there that he's mispronouncing. Let's hear it one more time for Tad.
And I keep this world from dragging me down, gonna stand my ground.
What do you think, Tad?
Clueless.
Clueless. Well, wait a minute. Let's not hear, yes, clues, but let's not hear a song. Let's move forward. Yeah, see, not waste one. That's right. Mario?
Stand my ground. That's close, Adam.
not really.
Higher ground.
Higher ground?
Yeah, it's grounded there somewhere.
No. Higher ground on, is a song that it was horrible.
What's his name? Steve? No.
Yeah, I guess it was Steve. And then it was
Higher Ground, Steve Winwood.
Oh, was it Stevie Wonder?
I think it's
all right.
Both.
And then it was remade horribly by the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
I'm sorry, Brian. You're right.
That song is right up there with American Woman in terms of horrible remakes. But where were we? That's right. Mario?
That's right. You're going to drop me a clue.
Oh, I was. Oh. Well, I feel like we should keep moving on. Do you want to keep?
Oh.
Should we talk to Mario and try another one? I'm now going to say whoever gets... two out of three is going to walk away with these Vegas tickets. Mario, let's keep going with you. Let's do the next song.
Baby, even the loser get lucky sometime.
Come on.
I know losers in there in the title.
Do you know any time?
Losers get lucky sometimes.
Say it again.
Even a loser gets lucky sometimes.
All right, we'll go. We'll go with a technical win on that one. Although you don't seem to be a big Tom Petty fan.
No, I am though. I have a bunch of songs written down. I'm just trying to get his accent going, and you know.
I understand. Yeah, I always like this song. I realize I'm at an unfair advantage because I communicate with Ozzy same way you communicate with your dog, which is you don't actually have a conversation, but he knows what you're thinking and you know what the dog's thinking.
Well, you go back 17 years or
we go way back, yeah. And like I said, with the dog knows the difference between time to go for a walk and time to go for a nap and time to eat and time to whatever. And you start to read the dog after a while. That's how I am with Ozzy. Actually, more like you'd have relationship you'd have with your donkey, actually, if in fact you had a relationship with your donkey, which I don't approve of. Let's go to the next song.
I am falling. We are falling.
You say free falling.
You
said the Tom Petty song Free Falling, because that was a wild card song in there. That was not a Tom Petty song.
Oh.
Although you so do almost have us on a technicality.
He's got us.
Gives me extra credit.
Well, as confusing as this is, let's go with the next Tom Petty song. Again, you get two out of three, and we'll cut our losses.
Yeah, she looks so nice. She all I need tonight.
She's all I need tonight. Here comes my girl.
Yes. Wow. That was amazing. Although I must say, let me, before we go to break, hang on, Mario. You just won yourself two tickets to the Vegas show with Tom Petty and the likes. Before we go to break, Brian, let's hear Don't Come Around Here No More, because I feel like I will like Ozzy's version better than Tom Petty's version of it.
I living a talk, I waiting any longer. I living a in this law getting stronger.
I always thought that song blew ass. I always wondered why it got played on the radio. I think there's some coke that was delivered to the... it's always my theory. Somebody delivered someone a bindle of blow, and that's how it got played. You know, those program directors used to be able to be bought. It's too bad our program director here can't be bought.
Until next time, it's Osvaldo Tom Petty game.
All right, former governor of New Jersey, James McGreevy. Yes, he was all over the news. Has it been a year? Has it been 9 months? How long has it been? 2 years?
Yeah.
2 years, that's right. We're over at Kimmel sitting around the writer's table trying to come up with gay jokes. I remember that.
But only 2 weeks since he did a full hour on Oprah.
I want to interview him on how it was like being interviewed by Oprah.
I'm curious.
I'm a fan. We'll talk to him, James McGreevy, after this.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with the former governor of the state of New Jersey and the author of the new book, The Confession.
I am a gay American, and I am blessed to live in the greatest nation with the greatest tradition of civil liberties in the world.
James McGreevy. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Good to see you, Governor.
Hey, Adam, good to be with you.
You know, yesterday was National Coming Out Day, and we had our gay board op, Bill, call his uptight Republican dad and tell him he was gayer. He already knew he was gay, but we just thought we'd pile it on a little bit. He was not happy.
He's a libertarian.
Dad wasn't happy?
No, he's uptight. How's your dad? Is your dad alive?
Yep, my dad, thankfully, is alive. He's good. Former Marine Corps drill instructor. And
perfect.
He was, you know, it was a lot for him to deal with, but he's been phenomenal.
Get on your knees, scumbag!
Well, many questions for you. First off, when did you know you were gay, or when did you start to suspect?
I guess, Adam, I knew that somehow I was different from the other kids back when I was in first, second grade, 6 or 7 years of age, but I knew for sure when I was in seventh or eighth grade, and I'm like, uh-oh. And there's something very different here.
Do you feel like a lot of homosexuals just get themselves into a heterosexual relationship and essentially try to sort of force a round peg into a square hole or something like that?
Well, I think a lot of people my generation did, but I see young people today all over the country. I mean, they live their truth. They're who they are, and they're honest and they're open and they deal with it. I mean, it's just, you know, my generation, and, you know, I'm 49 years of age, you looked around, there were no sort of gay role models, whether, you know, in your community, in your church, politically, whatever. And so you did what you thought was the right thing to do, which mm-hmm. was try to be straight. And you didn't even, you know, when I was growing up, I didn't even know a word gay. So, you know, I went to the library and looked up homosexuality and all mm-hmm. these awful things. And then you listen to what the church said. In fact, I was just telling Teresa, when I came into the studio this morning, I was watching this preacher, Andrew Womack, and they had all these television screens, and he's on the thing, Bible thumping and preaching condemnation of gays. And I'm a strong believer in God, and, you know, I go to church with my partner and raise my daughters, but it's like these people who are out there whipping gays, and unfortunately parts of the country, young kids see this and they believe this crap.
Right. And I just had twins, and I imagine they'll be ostracized if they're not gay by the time their 21st birthday rolls around. I mean, we are heading that direction.
No, we're not heading that direction. We just, everybody should be treated the same based on who and what they are and how they live their life.
I agree. I cannot figure out, my general approach to life is you have however many years you have. God willing, it's 85 years, but maybe it's 45 years, yeah. Or maybe it's 25 years. Who the F knows? How about you have a good time and worry about your own crap? I would love to go out and bash everybody who is different than me, but I don't have time. I'm too selfish. Gay bash, but I'm too selfish. I love myself too much, ironically, to go out and gay bash.
But it's also, Adam, it's just so destructive, even to the people who bash, because what it's about is they're attempting to say, I'm better than these people, whoever these people are, whether they happen to be gay, whether they happen to be African-American, Hispanic-American, women, whoever it is. And so it's just, it's an effort to psychologically say, I'm superior to you. And that's not American.
I'm just, like I said, amazed at how much extra time people have. They seem to write letters to the FCC to, you know, go and try to turn against their neighbors. Oh, screw them.
Hey, look, this is America, and you know, people have the right to voice their opinion. All that I ask that is that everyone is treated the same, and that whether you're gay or you're straight, whether you have brown eyes or blue eyes, you respect the dignity of the individual, and we all have a right to live our lives.
I agree. I think people should be judged by the car they drive, not by the color of their skin or their sexual proclivity.
This is a bold new approach.
That's right. How much money you have. That's how I want to judge people.
What does James McGreevy drive?
Drive a
Prius. Oh, damn.
But my partner...
$20. Yeah.
My partner drives a Range Rover.
Really?
Yeah.
And it's not powered. It's powered by fossil fuels, not rose petals or anything. It's just regular gas burning engine.
Adam, I don't want to contribute to global warming and the destruction of the ice caps and whatever. But no, I don't think there's rose petal technology yet.
I've said many times, one of the reasons I'm a fan of the gays is because they recycle.
All gays recycle?
Not all, just 99.9% of them. Look, you want to know whether you should be a fan of the gays or not? Let me just tell you something, Governor. You're out here in Los Angeles. This is my turf now. Let me tell you what to do.
I'm picking that up.
Get on Santa Monica Boulevard. Go on Santa Monica Boulevard over on Santa Monica and Western. See how it looks. See all the old chewing gum stuck to the curb. See the graffiti everywhere. See the old shopping carts turned over. Trash as far as the eye can see. It looks like Beirut. Then take the exact same street and head west for about a mile and a half. That's when you enter Boys Town, and that's where you end. It essentially looks like a miniature golf course at that point. There's putting greens. There's palm trees. You could eat off the sidewalks. A lot of bright-faced guys look freshly scrubbed, walking around with great physiques, and every storefront looks like it just was remodeled. That's what the gay section of the town looks like. Head down the other direction. Same street.
Adam.
Same street.
You're doing great things for gay rights.
2 miles over. It is a dump.
It's an innovative approach, Adam. I've never thought of it.
Well, look, I got to tell you, I would love to live in... I would like to be the honorary mayor of the gay town. I would like to live in the gay town. There's no crime. There's no graffiti. There's no trash. You won't see an old sofa sitting on someone's lawn or an El Camino up on
blocks.
Unless
it's an antique.
Yes, that's right. And the guy's out there putting some stipple effect on it, and he's going to bring it back in the living room and have a smart cocktail on it later. It's a better life, the gays, and they're better people. Look, let's be honest.
Let's not stereotype.
You guys are the greatest. The more you know.
Let's hear it for Adam.
I've said many times, much to my wife's chagrin, I wish I was gay. It'd be me and Jimmy Kimmel. Oh, we'd combine our incomes. We'd be staring at 170 TV sets. Oh, it would be
awesome.
Come on,
you've got two beautiful kids.
They're all right. I have no problem with them, but I mean, what a lifestyle. And for you, you must feel like a burden has been lifted off of you.
Adam, it's great. It's great, and that's, also as I go around the country talking to young people, I was in certain parts of the South, and these kids, frankly, when they come out and they tell their parents they're gay, their parents sometimes turn against them. Mm-hmm. They get thrown out of the church. They're ostracized, and they're in real pain. And my message to them is don't take on somebody else's shame. Don't take on somebody else's guilt. Being gay is as natural as having, as I said, brown eyes or blue eyes. That's who God made you. Embrace that truth. Be proud of who you are and walk your life with pride.
Well, how do you feel about nature versus nurture? Because the debate rages on. Or does it matter?
Well, for me, if there was any way, sort of growing up in a wonderful, loving Irish Catholic household, but I mean, the messages that I heard from the church and the messages that I heard, not from my family, but outside was, I didn't see anything positive about being gay. If I could have changed, I would have moved heaven and earth and hell to be a straight person.
Right.
And I believe
I feel that way about being gay now.
Yeah. And it's that's why I say to some people, I sat with a group of, Christian evangelicals. I said, if the Lord came down and said, be gay tomorrow and be gay for the rest of your life, what would that be like? Mm-hmm. That they couldn't do it, or that they wouldn't be living their truth. They'd be living a lie. And so we are who we are. Accept it, be proud of it, and live your life.
So you're married. You're the governor. We'll go back a few years. You have children, but you're living a lie.
Yeah.
And it's weighing on you. I imagine then, now, were you blackmailed?
Yes.
How did this information come out, or it was threatened to come out?
Yeah, somebody that I had a relationship with threatened a lawsuit, and I just, it's been a secret that I had my whole life, and I wrongly sort of brought other people into it. I mean, you get married, and your family, and your campaign, and you're doing it as the perception of being a straight person.
You wouldn't have kids, though, if you didn't live the lie for at least a few years, though. I mean, you can look at it that way, right?
I'm blessed. I have two wonderful daughters, one 14 and one 5, and they're great. And, I have a full life. But one of the real regrets is that I wasn't honest with who and what I was at a much earlier age, and also that I involved other people in my lie, my attempt to be straight.
Can I ask you a question that probably can't be answered, but if I were... Let's say, I'm trying to think. Now, so you're gay, but you're living in a heterosexual relationship. This is not, females are not part of your sexual proclivity. But if I was doing the opposite, if you took a straight guy and said, look, you're living this gay life, but it's a lie, I don't think most straight guys could physically have sexual contact with another guy if, in fact, it was a lie. Do you know what I'm saying? If you flipped the circumstances, if I was just living with a man and I wanted everyone to think I was gay, I don't think I could physically perform sexually. Is it different for a guy in a heterosexual relationship?
I mean, I'm not, a sex therapist or a psychologist. All I know is that, you love that person.
Could you have sex with your wife?
Yes.
You could?
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah. There's hope for you.
No, but it's mm-hmm. That's not the point. The point is you've got to be who you are mentally, spiritually, psychologically.
And is that just part of perpetuating the lie?
Yeah, I mean, sort of. Yeah, because it's you have to live your life, and if you know in your heart that you're gay, and I say this to young kids, mm-hmm. you should live your truth and be honest to yourself and to the people around you.
How long? Because I could only imagine. For me, there's nothing worse in life, and I would imagine it's this way with everyone. You know, when somebody says, when the boss comes in and says, "Look, before the day's over, come see me in my office. We need to talk," and your day is ruined because your mind starts running wild. What is he going to talk about? Then you start reviewing. Geez, what did I do? What is this?
Yeah.
And you always go to that worst place. That part where you found out that this guy you were having the relationship with was going to come out or was going to blackmail you or was going to essentially spill the beans about your homosexuality. How long did you have to live with that and sit on that before you were able to bring out the truth?
It was a matter of weeks. I mean,
wasn't months or years.
No, I mean,
but it must have been a horrible number of weeks.
Oh yeah, it was. All of a sudden you just a lot of things are going on. I mean, you're churning inside. On one hand, your survival mechanism kicks in, and you want to continue doing what you've always been doing because that's what you know, and you think of the people that are going to be terribly hurt. I mean, whether it's your wife,
was that the first
folks.
James McGreevy, by the way, is on the show with us, former governor of New Jersey. Did you tell your wife first?
Yeah, I mean, I told my wife, I told my folks all about the same time. And
I would have had my publicist do that. I got to be honest with you. As the governor, I feel like there's people that are there to do that kind of talking.
Adam, at some point, at long last, I had to step to the plate and do the right thing. And it was also, and my parents were really loving. I mean, I remember the conversation. I'm like, oh, God, why didn't I do this 25, 30 years ago?
Because your dad, the former Marine and everything.
They were so, it was a change, and they had to grapple with it, but they were loving and they were supportive. And so it's, and now, I've got a relationship. I'm in a committed relationship with a great guy. He happens to be Australian. And
he's very cute. I saw him on Oprah.
Thunder from down under.
He's tremendous. And it's now, I got a relationship in the open light of day. I am who I am. There's no burden. There's no lies. It's truthful. It's honest.
If you're gay,
so
you
got to
get out of Australia. You cannot be gay and live in Australia.
No, Australia's completely different.
Really? They must have 1,000 slang words for gay.
I don't know.
They must all be dynamite.
Actually, Sydney has the biggest pride festival in the world. I mean, Australia. I mean, I went to I met his folks and his family and his brother and his sister-in-law, and there's no prejudice there. I almost, and that's
when they sober up, they're going to be angry. Believe you me.
Throw a shrimp on the barbie.
I would argue any town named Sydney. Come on, do the math. The town is gay. The actual ground we're standing on is gay. Are you kidding, Sydney? It's the gayest town I've ever heard of. All right, and then there's what do they have?
Perth,
something with
Melbourne.
Perth and Prince. They also sound like some sort of maneuver, like Dirty Sanchez or something. All right, we need to take ourselves a quick break. Can you stay with us for one more quick break? James McGreevy, Confession is the name of the book, in stores now. We'll talk more to him after this.
Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. So we're doing a party at the Playboy Mansion October 26th. It's Blotto in the Grotto, our Halloween party, and Adam's going to be doing the show live. Any guys who want to come got to do something really stupid to get an invite. But all the girls got to do is send us a hot picture of yourself in a Halloween costume to contest@adamcarolla.com. If we like you, you're in. Again, the email address, contest@adamcarolla.com. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah, you ladies, you do a lot of belly aching, but you get a break on your car insurance. You live 8 years longer than we do, and it's ladies' night just about every club in town. Please, quit your belly aching. And whenever I hear that, we only get 75 cents to your dollar, I'm insulted by that. That's it?
You get as less?
Significantly. Significantly.
Adam doing great things for equal rights.
Thank you.
By the way, the guy outside who's going to shave part of his head.
Yes.
His wife, can you imagine this? His wife said, you can go to the Playboy Mansion with her brother.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty...
Yeah.
Pretty nice wife.
Yeah, because she's humping his best friend. That's why she wants him to clear out of the apartment for an evening. James McGreevy, here's the thing that's funny about women. It's the former governor of New Jersey. Women think their guy is hot. They think the schlubby guy with the Hooters t-shirt and the cut-off sweatpants and the fanny pack is a real catch. So they think, well, when I let this guy out into public, the women are going to be all over my little Baudelaire queso. But the reality is they don't look at him like you look at him. They look at him like society looks at him, and they're not attracted to him. It's always funny when the guy has the mullet and the bad mustache, and he's 40 pounds overweight. They say, oh, I let him go out to the barn. I know those hot chicks are going to be all over this guy. Not so. We know that, right? Yes?
World is safe.
Thank you. Thank you. James McGreevy in studio. So some questions for you. First off, how about ranking the guys here in the studio? We got Brusket over there, producer. We got our sound effects guy over here, Baldy McBaldenstein.
McBaldenstein.
We have our own Dave Damashek, and of course, moi. What do you think?
Teresa is a beautiful woman.
Thank you.
If you were gay, which one of us would... Oh, wait a minute.
Wait, shouldn't we include Bordop Bill?
Yes, Bordop Bill. What do you think? I mean, you know...
Celibacy could be an option.
Oh, please. No. You know, we could really have something. Go out... You know, we'd look good on the town, me and you.
It's, you know what you just described about wives thinking they're husbands?
Mm, applying that to me?
No, to the entire crew.
The whole crew? Adam's a handsome fellow.
Thanks, baby doll.
Adam is good, but Adam's on a roll. He's got two twins. He's got twins at home. I mean, he's going to be at home changing those diapers.
You got a couple of kids. That'll be four kids. We'll make a nice couple. We'll see him on the weekends.
Exactly. On a very neat stretch of the beach.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, look at this. The music is good.
Well, let me... yes, we're running at each other in slow motion. Then we grab hands and we turn. And then we do my point of view on you. Your head is flung back, your hair flowing in the wind. And this is a song that's playing in my head. All right, so...
Hey, by the way, Born Bill is from Atlantic City.
Mm. He's born there.
He's born in Jersey.
Ah, well, there's a hometown boy.
He's
for
a great, great gay American from New Jersey. Yeah.
He is.
Thank you.
So what
could
about
applause? A few more people applause.
What about
there we go? That's what he deserves. What
if about you had given Brian a higher ranking? You would have gotten the better applause to begin with.
Yes, let's hear that. What about your political career?
Well, it's done.
It is, but yeah. Why? I mean, can
Does it have to
be done?
Well, what I want to do is work with kids. I want to work with, you know, unfortunately in America, gay kids have three times higher the suicide rate as straight kids because of all this fear and all of this shame. And what I want to help them is to get rid of it, to dump it, be proud of who they are and live their lives and sort of work with kids. And also in America, 14 million kids, American kids, are going to go to bed hungry tonight. The fastest growing percentage of people in poverty in dire poverty in America are kids between the ages of 1 to 5. And so I just want to focus on those two issues.
They'll land on their feet. Well, let me float a very unpopular theory that I have about the gay kids and the suicide. I think a lot of gay kids are the product of molestation, abuse in the family, either sexual or physical abuse, and that lens to it. It's not the only reason why the suicide rate is higher, but it's part of it. What do you think of that?
I think you should stick to radio.
Oh, really? You don't think... I know the truth is oftentimes popular, what do you think?
I don't think, you know, molestation, actually in terms of pedophilia, it's much higher percentage-wise in the straight community in terms of young girls getting victimized.
A fair amount of young gay people were molested, though.
Percentage-wise... I don't want to let the facts interrupt your theory, but it's
go
on
ahead.
The straight side. But
but that doesn't mean there's not a huge group of people that were molested.
More girls, more straights are overwhelmingly molested and abused.
What percentage of the gay community, male gay community, do you think were molested?
I don't have any idea. I have none.
I'd say it's fairly high.
I think you're wrong. But
I don't mean over 50%. I just mean high. People might think it's, you know, less than 5% or something like that. I think it's more in the 20 percentile. I used to have a job where all I did was talk to people that were molested, and a lot of them went that direction.
But I mean, it just
like, say, for example, I grew up in a family, mother and father were incredibly loving. Mom is a nurse. My dad was in the Corps, and he was in business. I mean, a loving, nurturing family. My parents were nothing but loving and supportive. It's the thing that, I mean, and I go to an Episcopalian church now, but it's the stuff that I heard from the Catholic Church about condemnation and hell and mortal sin and the stuff that I heard. So a lot of it was, and also my buddies, when, you know, we you hear the words fag and homo and queer, you didn't want to rush out and say, hey, that's me.
Right.
Basically, you wanted to keep that at arm's length.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, you pick up images, you hear prejudices, you hear remarks, and you can pass for being straight, which is the wrong thing to do, because ultimately that's unhealthy. So to me, there was nothing but a loving, nurturing family. But you didn't want to own this, Adam, because there weren't many upsides.
No, look, I understand, especially you're not that old, but you're certainly from a time where it was definitely frowned upon.
And
hopefully things are different now.
But Adam, parts of the country, there was the latest Gallup poll, a third of America considers themselves evangelical Christian. A third of America.
Really?
Yeah, and so you look to, and as I was just talking to Teresa off the air, is that, you know, this when I came in, this fellow, this minister, Andrew Womack, is on there condemning gays, whipping gays, abomination. And if you're growing up in a household that's watching that and hearing that from the pulpit in home, I mean, that's not what I don't believe that's what God is about. And certainly you don't want to own those messages. And if those kids have the courage to come out, it's like, don't let the door hit you on your backside on the way out, and you're tossed out of the church. And so a lot of the kids choose to live in the closet.
Look, I really think we should be giving tax incentives for gay couples. I really do, because the biggest problem we have is unwanted kids in this country, as far as I can tell. I'm no politician, but I can see what's going on.
Oh.
Unwanted kids, the
kids
that are raised
in foster homes, kids that
broken families. I mean, look, go to the prisons and figure out why they're there. Do they come from loving families who saved up money for college and gave them braces, or do they come from broken families and where they just basically fell through the cracks and were left behind?
No, I agree with you.
And
there.
Then everything. I mean, many things: addictions, drug addictions, alcohol addiction, unemployment, poverty.
Loved.
Yes, but if you're not having kids, you should get a tax credit. You know, we give credits for having kids.
No,
we should give them for not having kids.
I think that makes sense, because instead of kids being in foster homes or kids being abandoned, you want to put kids in loving homes where two people are going to nurture and raise that kid. And I think that makes good sense. I think you want to put a kid in a loving home where they wake up in the morning and there's a breakfast and somebody gives a damn about whether or not they do their schoolwork or homework. I mean, that's
right.
What we should be about.
You hear that, Mom? Damn.
Oh no, you upset Adam.
Sorry. Now what about adoption? Is it easier
it's
now for a gay couple to adopt?
It's much easier. Some states actually it isn't. But overwhelmingly, and throughout the United States, I mean we're moving in the right direction.
We have Rosie to thank for that.
We have Rosie to thank for a lot of things. I'm a fan of Rosie.
I am gay.
You got the big part right, but you're a fan?
I'm a fan of Rosie.
All right.
I think she speaks her truth, and she does it with conviction.
You gays just have to stay together.
Well,
it's like being a Republican, being gay, or being Democrat. You can't talk any smack about other Republicans or Democrats. You have to stay with the party line. Go ahead and bash her.
I'll tell you, no. I think she's good. I think she's honest.
Okay.
And that's what ultimately what the whole book is about, the confession, is being honest with yourself.
That's right. I will give you a plug for being so honest on this show. Confession is the name of the book. James McGreevy is the author. And you're going to be Friday, 7 o'clock at Book Passage in San Francisco.
Yeah.
And last but not least, because I know you're pressed for time, on a scale of 1 to 10, how gay are you?
Wait, is 10 the gayest?
10 would be bored out Bill. I put myself about a 3.5.
And John Wayne is one?
John Wayne would be... John Wayne Bobbitt, actually, is one. He's the straightest man I think I've ever seen.
How gay I am.
3 seconds.
Clinch. Wait, do I have a lifeline? Teresa, 10, I'm, 10,
I'm,
10,
I'm
10,
sorry.
10.
I'm sorry. Wait a minute. Judges say...
What are the judges?
Oh, yes. Okay.
Yes. All right. Hey, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
And Teresa,
James
I admire
McGreevy.
Your courage.
She's a delight. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. We have our very straight man who's coming in here next to shave one half of his body, beard, hair, everything in order to go to the Playboy Mansion. If you want to call and you want to do something stupid to get in on this, we're doing it on the 26th in the evening. 866-901-ADAM. We'll be right back with the shearing after this.
I didn't go to boarding school.
Shorter breaks, longer rants. More Adam after this. The Adam Carolla Show. Back to the Adam Carolla Show. The Thursday night before Halloween, we're doing our Halloween party at the Playboy Mansion for Blotto in the Grotto. Live broadcast and a ton of hot chicks. Guys, if you want to go, you got to do something really stupid. Check the list at adamcarolla.com or come up with your own stunt. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, let's do a little recap. Here's how you get in. We had a guy smoke a bong load of Big Tad's pubes. We also gave it a dusting of gay board op Bill's pubes. Dude, weird red hair sticking out of there. It was grotesque. I think the joke was sort of on us because we got the secondhand pube smoke in the room. But he held it in for a full 8 seconds. And thus, he said, oh, we have a clip of that. Well, let's hear that. Now, here's how it's going to go. We were going to pack this bong filled with Tad's pubes. You must inhale. Again, 5 Mississippi. Oh, Tad's pubes
are
everywhere.
I'm packing it right now.
Tad, how shaved were you before this began?
Well, you know, I like to keep clean.
So you're missing the whole thing. Pack it in.
Why don't you shave about 30 inches off your waistline instead of worrying about your sack? Remember yesterday when you said you were shaved down there, and I said that's not enough pubes, and we're going to need supplementary pubes?
Does anybody else want to put some in this?
All right, Nathan. Firing up the bong. Oh, look at that. All right, now he's not. He let the carb go. It's in his lungs. Play it. He had to hold it for the whole song.
Still smoking.
Gotta be the longest 8 seconds of the man's life.
Exhale. Oh, and he exhaled in here.
I'll tell you, you want time to slow down to a crawl, you just go ahead and inhale some of Tad's pubes.
Yes.
You want to get the most out of life? If I knew I had 6 months to live, I would say, give me Big Tad, his pubes, and a bong. I will make this feel like 100 years.
Yes, the space-time continuum is contracted.
And then they'd have to explain why I went 3 months early because of lung cancer. I didn't know he was a smoker. He wasn't. Let's just leave it at that and move forward. So we did that. We also want to do get the hair plug so you have the unibrow. We just... you know, I want everyone to join me in my unibrow, so we'll just get your hair plugs right above your nose there, right on the bridge of the nose. Here's one of Kimmel's greatest contributions to society. We never did get to use it on the man show. I can't remember when Kimmel came up with this idea, but this is tattoo of tattoo. You get a tattoo of tattoo from Fantasy Island.
Hervé Villechaize.
That's right. The other one I liked was the tattoo of Don King under your armpit so that when you raise your arm, your armpit hair looks like Don King's hair on his head. I'm looking forward to that one if someone's stupid enough to do that. Also, we wanted my face on your ass, and we wanted to shave it so it looked like I had a 5 o'clock shadow. There's more. Yes, pomegranate grenade. This was a stroke of brilliance on my part. We take a nice, big, fat, juicy pomegranate. We put an M80 in the middle of it. We take your seats. We fold them down. We put them in your car. We put them right on that armrest, right in the center console there, and we blow it up. We have a guy who has a BMW 645. It's a convertible. It's an 05, $75,000 automobile. He's the front runner. Matt is on the phone, though. Matt?
Yeah.
You have a Mercedes?
I do. I have a 2000 Mercedes.
What series?
The C230 compressor sport sedan.
Sticker on that car at the time was probably in the low 40s, high 30s. But now, let me check my Kelley Blue Book. You're between 19.5 and 23.5 for that. That's not enough automobile for us.
I stole it for 18.2.
Oh, okay. We got a good deal on it because that's low Kelley Blue Book, according to mine.
Well, let's not stop at one pomegranate. Let's get silly.
Well, I was explaining to my wife why she married a genius because I came up with the smoke a a bong load of Tad's pubes. I came up with the pomegranate exploding in your car with an M80 idea.
You are a blinding, brilliant light from heaven.
How did that go over?
She was, as usual, not impressed, and spends more time talking to the dog than she does paying attention to me when I'm talking. But she said, why not a pumpkin?
I thought,
you know what? Straight ahead, but nice. And we are heading into Halloween. Yeah. It is a Halloween party. Why not blow up a pumpkin? But a rotting pumpkin in someone's car. So, Matt.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what you have going for you here. I like your attitude. I like your style. You remind me a lot of me when I was your age. How old are you?
31.
Yeah, that's right. You remind me of a 31-year-old Adam Carolla. But you have a very small car. That car is tiny. That's the car, Dave Damashek, that Bill Simmons, the sports guy from ESPN, somehow gaily drives around. Although, people say straight. Matt?
Yeah?
That car's just small enough and a pumpkin's just big enough to fill it up. I think you're in.
It will fill it nicely. And then, to top that, while I'm crying and cleaning out my car, I get the tattoo of tattoo. And then call my father... Mm-hmm. And tell him I'm gay and my roommate's my lover. And not allowed to call him back for a week to tell him it was a joke.
Well, I would say either you're really stupid or you really hate your dad.
I'm really stupid.
Okay. And what I would like you to do, just because I enjoyed it so much yesterday, we had Board Op Bill call his dad because it was National Coming Out Day and tell his dad he was gayer because his dad already knew he was gay. I'd like you to call Bill, the Board Op's dad, and tell him you're gay, too. I want everyone who's gay not to call their dad, but to call Bill. He would kill himself, this man. He's pissed off enough
so
his own son is telling him he's gay. All right, well, listen, Matt, you just need to bring in the Mercedes and we'll blow up a pumpkin in it. I'll put you on hold. We'll work that out. I appreciate the attitude, but I feel like we should have one stunt per stunt person. Speaking of stunt person, Anthony is in studio. Anthony is the stooge that said he was going to let us shave half of his body. Anthony?
How you doing?
Good to speak to you. I see you have the two-stage beard we spoke of. You have
Absolutely.
The goatee with the rest of it sort of filling in. Not as much hair on the head as I would like, but they're still going to play nicely with the beard. Tad?
I'm ready to go.
Put your vibrator away, Tad, and get out your razor.
Sorry.
Okay, there you go. Let's hear the razor. Oh, they sound exactly the same. Coincidence. You're going to shave, Anthony?
Yes, I am.
Anthony, you're from where?
I'm from Maryland, but live in Long Beach.
And what age are you?
26.
Have you ever been to the Playboy Mansion?
Never.
Well, that's all going to change in about, well, however long it takes Big Tad to shave half your body. Now, it's unclear. Should he get in his underpants?
Yeah.
The problem with...
Why am I saying yes?
The problem with a lot of these stunts, you realize as you get into the stunts, you are participating in the stunt as well. Because on one hand, there's this guy smoking a bong load of pubes. On the other hand, you're breathing in the secondhand smoke. Or there's a guy getting shaved and you're staring at his hairy sack and Big Tad going at it with a Remington. I would argue that the joke is partially on anyone who's in the room.
Wait, he's doing his own privates, right?
Okay.
Yeah, let him do his own privates. I'll do the rest.
I think that's fair.
Thank you, bro.
Anthony?
Yes.
Stand up. Tad, let's start with the head.
Okay.
What I want to do is do the right half of the head closest to you, Big Tad. Start with the right half of the head, and then what we'll do is we'll do the left half of the beard, and it'll be a great contrasting look.
Coming off.
Is it coming off nicely there, Tad?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Anthony was formerly enlisted in the military, so this should be this should be old hat to him, pardon the pun. Big Tad is now. Anthony, face me for a second. Let me just see what that looks like. Oh. Yeah.
You're so ugly you could be a modern art masterpiece.
Wow. That's rough.
That's half the head is now going bald. We'll be working on the beard as we go. I'm going to take a break. We want to continue with this. We also have David Arquette showing up in the studio. Former Governor James McGreevy has not left yet. He wants to sit here and stare at the poor slob who's being shaved. Hootie and the Blowfish are going to be in here. They're going to do a little playing.
James McGreevy left his cell phone, apparently.
Oh, really?
We're looking for it.
Well, you want
to
watch
Shane?
Well, we'll call it. It'll ring during the break, and we'll find it. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with more of your stunts after this.
Here's another line you'll never hear in a porno with Playboy TV's Jessie Jane.
I'm Amish too.
Oh, keep talking, baby. Let's get back to the Adam Carolla Show.
I'm assuming we recorded that before the tragedy in the schoolhouse.
It's one of those things we maybe should have removed after the schoolhouse shooting, but listen,
we're edgy.
Right, exactly.
This is, I stand behind this show. I mean, I'm not going to say anything if somebody said that was wrong, but I do physically stand behind the show. Anthony's in studio. He's going to get himself a couple of tickets to the Playboy Mansion. We'll be there on the 26th. Tad is shaving. Tad is now spreading shave cream all over him. Most of this stuff takes a turn for the homoerotic at a certain point.
We're dating after this.
He's shaving young Anthony. He has half a beard, half a head. He's doing the eyebrow as well. We're just shaving half his body. If you want tickets, come up with something good or do something that's on the list. We have...
The list is on adamcarolla.com, yes.
Thank you. We have one that's intriguing. Eric. Eric?
Yes.
What would you like to do to go to the Playboy Mansion?
I will name my child after you, Adam.
Mm. You gonna name your kid Douchebag?
Negative.
Ah, another military man, or maybe you're in law enforcement.
Military. Worked out of San Diego.
I like that. Negative. You sure? No, sir.
Get on your knees, scumbag!
It's funny, because a guy who was out of the military for 20 years and is 42 can be talking to an eight-year-old. The eight-year-old be like, do you want a subscription to my newspaper? No, sir, that's negative, sir. Howdy, ma'am. I'm 9. My name's Sheila. Yes, ma'am.
What is your major malfunction, numbnut?
Is his wife expecting?
I do love that.
Due next week.
Due next week. Now, here's the thing. I love the idea that you're going to name your kid Adam. My question is what were you going to name the kid, and what did your wife want to name the kid?
It would be, he was going to be an Eric Jr.
Yeah, I see. That's after you.
Correct.
And we usually don't ask for last names, but give me your last name. I want to hear how it flows.
Mims.
Mims.
Mims with an M.
Mims.
Oh, like Chris Mim.
Yeah.
Exactly. Ex-Charger.
Eric Mims. Adam Mims.
What about middle name Carolla?
You're pushing a hard bargain, Adam.
Your wife's not a big fan of the man show?
Actually, yes, she is.
Mm-hmm. Well, what was the middle name going to be?
Burrell. He's going to be a junior. Eric Burrell Mims.
And that's your middle name?
Correct.
Wow. Well, I got to tell you, go middle name Carolla. I'll tell you what. I'll compromise with you. You can go Eric Carolla Mims.
That's a deal.
You want to go with that?
I could do that.
Now, how do we verify this?
Birth certificate.
Yeah, but the birth certificate we're not going to get until when? Next week?
I'm a man of my word, Adam.
Yeah, but all liars say that.
What's your wife's due date?
Next week, Thursday.
Okay, well, let's do it in studio. What? Hold on, Brusca. What? Huh? Well, then we'll put a tarp down. All right, well, we'll hash out the details. So next week is the due date.
Correct.
You go in C-section?
Yes.
Right. Because that's what they did with my kids. They just took them out like a bad wisdom tooth. Just went in and extracted them. Used a melon baller. Pow. Got them right out of there. Now, are you going to cut the cord, Eric?
I didn't want to, but I think I'm being forced in. If I do this, then I'm going to have to cut the cord.
Oh, I see. Look, that part, the cutting the cord part, I went into it with everybody. You're going to cut the cord? You're going to cut the cord? Is anyone going to cut the cord? Who's going to cut the cord? You want to cut the cord? No, I don't want to cut the cord. But the part they don't explain to you is you don't cut the cord when it's attached to the old lady's hoo-ha. You cut the cord after they cut the cord. You cut the extra 2 inches. You cut the pigtail off the cord when the kid's sitting in the incubator over to the right.
It's symbolic.
Well, first off, how about giving us a heads up when you say cut the cord? You know what I mean? I'm not... If it's symbolic, maybe I'm down with it. If I think I'm actually part of the medical team, no, I don't want anything to do with cutting the cord. By the way, anything else going on at the hospital? Gallbladder needs to be removed? What else? I got a free set of hands.
Okay, but Adam, this is a question for you. Do they give you the birth certificate when you leave the hospital?
Oh, that's for me?
Yes. You just had, 4 months ago, you had 2 babies.
Listen, I didn't have kids so I could get some paperwork, man. I had kids because I didn't pull out. I mean, because I love because I love kids, you understand? I didn't need to see a bunch of paperwork to know I'm in love with my kids or know what the girl's middle name is to know if it's Eva or Ava, whatever it is. The point is I don't need to get bogged down and mired in the details. I'm too busy loving. Eric?
Yes.
I like Corolla for the middle name. I've got to tell you, though, I have some other options here I like. I like Dalton, because that was the name of Patrick Swayze's character, Roadhouse. Youngblood is a strong one, too.
Adam, we're just talking about One Night at the Playboy Mansion. If you can get me
I understand you're not moving in.
Right. I'll let you name the child.
So you're saying if I got your room at the Playboy Mansion, we could go with Brillo Head?
You can name him whatever you want to.
All right, I just like Corolla as the middle name, but please, it's C-A-R.
Okay.
And the kid will always have a good story.
Yeah.
Yeah, before my parents got divorced, my dad got to go to the Playboy Mansion. All right, Eric, I'm going to need verification via the birth certificate. That's all.
Okay.
I believe you, but I think you're lying. So, I need verification.
You got it.
All right. All right. We'll do that. Middle name, Corolla. You can go with Eric. He can still be a junior.
Okay.
All right. It'll be like a boy named Sue, because when you hobble your kid at birth with the Corolla name, and I got to tell you, we're not a proud people. Our coat of arms is a dumpster with two cots crossing in front of it.
What does it signify?
It signifies those who like to nap before they go trash picking.
How would I know that?
Seriously, I have no... Corolla's a horrible family name. There's nothing. There's no great Corollas. There's no achievement. There's people... I lease everyone in my family a car. That's how well they're doing. So this could be quite a handicap for the young boy. Tad, how's the shaving going over there on young Anthony?
It's going good so far. He's smooth up on top.
Eyebrows gone.
Eyebrow.
Half a beard. Half the head gone and half the chest hair.
I'm waiting!
At this point.
Yep.
Here's Paul. Paul has a stunt called park the bike in his butt crack. Huh. How does that work, Paul?
Butt crack, bike rack. Basically, you drop your trousers and get on your hands and knees and pull up next to a bike rack and bend over. And anybody who wants to park their bike there and lock their bike to my ass, then have at it.
I'm intrigued. Again, most of this stuff just takes a turn for the homoerotic at some point. I'm going to be staring at the backside of your sack for a break when you come in here and do this, and Big Tad's going to be trying to get a Schwinn in you. I like it. I like butt crack bike rack as a title, and I feel like you have potential, but I've had an ass full of ass.
Yes.
Especially the male ass.
Well, believe me, I'm not over enthused about it. But a day at the Playboy Mansion, believe me, I'll do almost anything.
And what kind of automobile do you drive, Paul?
I drive a Tahoe, Chevy Tahoe.
Mm-hmm. What year?
02.
Let me check my Kelly Blue Book. How many miles on the car?
58.
Stick or automatic?
It's auto.
Four wheel or two wheel drive?
Two wheel.
Uh-huh. And a climate control or just air conditioning?
Climate control.
Mm-hmm. Any modifications to the vehicle, wheels?
No, it's pretty much stock.
Does it have the towing package?
Yes, it does.
All right. Let me check the book here. Sorry. That's only worth a low Kelly Blue Book is 13.9, high is 17.1.
Yeah, that's pretty much right on.
Thank you.
Nicely done.
I have a Kelly Blue Book up my arse. I don't
know
if you know that.
Yeah.
All right. What else do we got? Someone wants to do a long snap from me, and I love to do the long snapping into the crotch. Seems painful. I think we did that with Big Tad already.
Yeah.
So this guy, Gabriel, wants to get the Don King tattoo. Gabriel?
Yeah, how's it going?
Good. You want to get the Don King tattoo under your armpit?
I do.
Mm-hmm. What kind of hair do you have under your armpit?
I got the hair. All right, when it's closed, it's hidden. But when you open it up, it poofs out like his hair. So, you know, if you put a hat on and it came off, it would come out to the same.
So you have sort of nappy, fro-y hair under your pit.
I do.
Okay, because what I don't want is a blonde guy with straight blonde pit hair. That's not going to work out for the Don King pit tattoo.
No, it's black hair.
Okay, what's your nationality?
I'm half Spanish and half Lebanese.
Oh, I think we have a winner. All right, Gabriel. And you smoke a lot of weed?
I do.
Yeah.
Every time.
I'll tell you the two. There's two things I learned from doing Loveline for over 10 years. Who goes to junior college and who smokes the weed? It's usually the same guy. There's the pot laugh. There's the pot laugh. The tell on the weed is the laugh. That's the pot laugh. The tell on the junior college is just being stump stupid. When people go, hey, man, Ernie doesn't think so. And you go, who's Ernie? Oh, he's a friend of mine. You don't know him.
He's late. Get out of mom's house.
And then you realize the guy's stupid. Then you do the junior college math.
Never, ever been wrong about a pot smoker or a JUCO attendee.
And all you JUCOs that are always, you guys who go to junior college and the folks that run them and the folks that work at the junior colleges who always get offended when I know you're from junior college, I would ask that you stop being so goddamn stupid and then I wouldn't know, you see? It's like the terrorists or the folks that get offended. Well, all you got to do is convince your own religion to stop blowing things up, and then we'll have no problem. Until then, sorry, you'll be stereotyped. So, you come from a religion where you think it's a good idea to put on an explosive vest and go into a Pizza Hut, you will be stereotyped. You're stupid, you're stump stupid, and you call on the show, and you go to junior college, there will be a stigma attached to that as well. Thank you, the more you know. We need to take a break. David Arquette is here, is he not, Prescott?
Yeah.
David Arquette, dear friend, David Arquette and I have a very strange story from the last time I did radio with him that I will convey to you in moments, and we'll talk to him about everything under the sun. Anthony, how's the shaving going over there?
It's going great.
I accidentally cut him. His neck.
Yeah, he is a mess.
But look at the straight razor that you guys gave me.
I also see that you and Big Tad share a love for retarded tattoos.
Anthony has quite a few tattoos.
He has some scary military tattoos. Arms on fire. A lot of guys go with the fire tat. They do that on the car. To me, car on fire, not a great thing. Stone guy may hit you with a garden hose. I do a lot of that. That's my feeling. You know, the only thing that's more popular on an automobile when you modify an automobile than the flames coming off the car. Again, why not just keep it going and put it on the space shuttle and put it on commercial aircraft, too? Hey, no, that wing? No, that's just airbrushing. Holy Christ! Yeah, hey, we thought it looked cool. Rock and roll, you know.
I'm sorry, Adam. Do you want me to get the arm, too?
And get the arm.
And the armpits, too?
Get the arm as well.
Underneath the armpits, too? You want me to get the armpit?
Yeah, go under the armpit.
All right.
I would have said no, but Anthony shook his head and said no, and then that made me say yes. That's right. That's the pot laugh. All right, where are we? Yes, flames. We need to take ourselves a quick break. David Arquette in studio next. Arquette in studio. Good to see you again, David.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
David and I go way back to my old Loveline days, and I'm sure you remember the story that I'm going to tell, but to help me, and you be the color commentator.
I sure will.
David Arquette was someone I was speaking about just during a random Loveline show about, oh, God, has to be 6-7 years ago now. It's been a while.
Just speaking, though, Adam?
Well, I don't know how his name came up. I think we were talking about somebody else, but I said to Dr. Drew, and David Arquette was not due to come into the studio nor be on the guest on the show anytime in the foreseeable future. He had been, I think, once or twice before that, but he was not on the calendar. Somehow we brought up crazy people.
Oh, no.
And I said, you know, here's the thing I don't understand about crazy people. Some of these actors, and I don't know, maybe you think of Crispin Glover. There's a handful of actors. Now it's maybe Nick Nolte and guys like that, Gary Busey. You say to yourself, well, these guys are clearly nuts, but how is it that they play the role of a small-town sheriff? I mean, they're insane. You'd think you'd just hand them the script and they would eat it. I don't know how they would, or they would make a Napoleon hat out of it and show up on the set with their pants around their ankles. How is it that David Arquette, who's nuts, and you seem sane now, don't get me wrong, I know it sounds like I'm backpedaling, but the clearly insane David Arquette, how is it that an insane David Arquette could go play these roles, memorize his lines, show up to the set on time? And of course, Dr. Drew said, you better watch what you say. That David Arquette, he may be nutty enough just to kick your ass. And I said, look, that Looney Tune. He couldn't find his way to the studio. Believe me, if he was on the roof, he wouldn't know where he was right now.
Now, let me just remind you also that it was during Being John Malkovich. You had Spike Jonze there and a bunch of people that were... And that's how I think the crazy world got there. And that's a nutty movie, too. So,
yes. Well, that's how we got onto the subject of crazy actors, perhaps. But it was funny. It was funny that Drew said, "Hey, man, David Arquette, I'd watch what I said about him. The guy could just show up on it." And I then went on a tirade about how nutty he was. He couldn't even find his own house. And then we continued on with the show. And about 4 to 6 minutes later, David Arquette burst through the door.
So you were listening in your car at home?
Yeah, I was heading back from the Laker game, and I was listening. And my name, they were talking about me, and not so nicely. And so I was like, oh, forget it. I knew where the studio was. I just, you know, got there as fast as I could. And then the security guard was walking out. As I was walking in, I was like, hey. And I just kind of skirted right by him.
Nobody stopped him. This was the same security guard who used to. Most security guards are morbidly obese, so they have sleep apnea. He would fall asleep on the sofa next to the studio. I would get the mic cord extender. I'd get a 20-foot cord on the mic, and I would sneak it out there and put it next to him, and we would hear him snoring through the entire show. Unfortunately, he got fired. And then he was pissed at me. Hey, man, why'd you put that mic by my... He was reaching for his pepper spray. I was like, well, you're not supposed to be audibly sawing logs for the 2 hours you're supposed to be guarding us here. Nice job with Arquette, by the way. He could have had a gun. So, Arquette, I'm just talking on just like I'm talking now, door flings open. David Arquette is standing there. Who's crazy now, big guy?
Well, you could argue that it's kind of a little crazy to show up at a radio station.
Well, crazy like a fox.
Yeah. It was fun, though. I mean, it was kind of like reality and sort of life. And
It was surreal for me. I think for the people listening, it was, well, he was talking about David Arquette, and 5 minutes later, there stood David Arquette. But for me, surreal. It's as if I summoned you like a crazy genie from a lamp.
I also had heard you and Dr. Drew talk, like in your finale show or at Love Lines, and then it came up again. Like he mentioned something about
great
that
moments
time.
In Love Line history,
and I was sort of by the studio. And I was
you could have really freaked
like
me out
doing it again, but I did. I wanted to be nice.
Good.
So, David Arquette, you do seem very grounded and stable, and not nearly as crazy as I once thought you were.
Well, I've learned to channel it, Adam, and I almost called you Alan for some reason. That's nice.
Well, what do you attribute it to? Because is it the marriage? Is it is it Courtney Cox? Is she grounded you?
She sure has, and being a father's grounded me.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, cutting back on drugs. No.
Yeah, that helps.
Does that
right?
Work?
Yeah. No, not even cutting back. Quitting, but you know, the serious drugs.
Right. Yeah, not the weed and the booze.
Hey, you know,
but the
stuff
that makes you crazy.
Yeah.
Now, your family...
I'm not like a weed head, though.
Your family's a crazy, pardon the word again, eclectic mix of artisan types, right? I mean, there's acting, there's performing, there's, you know, there's painting and poetry and all kinds of stuff. I saw your brother who, let's see, what is his name?
Alexis. My sister, really.
Is he now? Did he undergo the surgery?
Took place, but still, I refer to her as my sister.
Because she'll yell at you during Thanksgiving?
Because that's what she wants and how she feels comfortable, and I respect that.
But I'm trying to think, like, if my sister said to me, hey, Adam, from here on in, you'll be calling me your brother, I'd be like, are you high?
Yeah, it's
I'm not going to do that.
That's for sure.
So did you resist that? Because I saw her on Surreal Life.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, this person's funny, but this person's volatile.
Yeah. Alexis is an interesting person. Like, got an amazing personality. And if you ever see her just do her shows, or she does, like, you know, performance art, and as well as fine art. I mean...
Can she... go through the surgery? Does she want to go through the gender reassignment surgery?
I think she does, and I don't know. You know, it's all kind of a little too much for me to.
I would be freaked out too. I gotta be honest.
I don't know, but you know, whatever makes her happy is really.
Well, here's the thing. I think for everybody who wants to go this direction in life, as far as your family goes, you can blame your family if they never want to talk to you again, or they ostracize you, or they kick you out of the family. You can't blame them for being freaked out.
Right.
You can't blame David Arquette for being a little freaked out.
Why wouldn't she just, you know, do the whole Silence of the Lambs thing and tuck it? Tuck it and be like, would you or I me?
Slow down. You're turning me on. David, yes, go ahead, Teresa.
I was just expecting It Puts the Lotion line. That usually follows.
It puts the lotion in the basket.
Thank you.
We need to take ourselves a break. David is directed.
Yes.
A new movie. Directorial debut.
Yes.
I thought you had done some directing before. Was that in television and not in...
No, it was in traffic. I just directed a lot of traffic in my crazy days. No, I never directed anything. So this is my debut.
All right. But did you get it right?
I think I scored.
We'll take ourselves a quick break. We'll be back to talk more about that and Crazy Family with David Arquette after this.
Yeah.
Shorter breaks, longer rants. More Adam after this. The Adam Carolla Show.
Hey, diddle diddle, the cat in the fiddle. The cow jumped over the moon. The little dog laughed, the seaside sport, and the dish ran away with the spoon. Put a sock in it, would you two? Fine, you're both grounded. You happy now?
Call 866-901-ADAM. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
David Arquette is in studio. We're now at the point where we're getting the kid off the bottle, and we're feeding him the food, and I'm trying to spoon it. I don't have enough patience to be a dad.
Well, David's a dad. Maybe he's got some tips.
Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you. The kids, I have twins now. They spit out, you know, you try to shovel the food into the mouth, and then the kid just keeps pushing it back out, and you have to scrape it off their chin and goes back in. And then I do the kitty talk for a couple beats. Come on, num, num, nummy. And then it goes, num, 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 look at me. I'm going to pretend to eat some yum, yum, yummy. And then at a certain point, you start to give them the adult talk when you get fresh. So let's go now. Yeah. Come on now. Have some goddamn pride, would you? Oh, for the love of Christ.
You're a goddamn disgrace.
Look, I'm on minute number 20 of trying to feed you some strained peas. Now let's go. Let's focus. Jesus Christ, grab a knee. Break it down.
David Arquette, is that a good strategy?
Well, I've done it myself, so I think it's probably universal. But, you know, 6 months, there's like a big turning point.
They start taking it.
Whoa, where am I?
Yeah, they're sort of, it's weird because they have a short memory. At 4 months, they take the one spoonful, and then you give them the next spoonful, and they're like, hey, what is this? And you're like, it's that thing I gave you 3 seconds ago. Remember you liked it? No, I do not. I will keep my mouth closed. Or go ahead and put it in. I'll just push it back out again. Then you can pull it off my chin.
Yeah,
is there some such thing as like a baby bong? Is there some way we can force them?
No, sir.
I understand why mother birds do what they do now. They just chew it up and they spit it right in. Go ahead.
You can do that.
Do it the way the French do it. That's why I tell my wife, chew that Gerber's up and spit it right in the kid's mouth. So now, did you have a lot of help? Did you get night nurses and nannies and all that stuff?
Yeah, we had a baby nurse for the first 6 months or something. And then we have nannies that we switch off, but they don't stay at night.
Mm-hmm. They have to screen them. You got to make sure they don't write a tell-all book. It's got to be surreal for them. It's like, hey, David Arquette and the chick from Friends. This is bizarre. I'm going to write a book. Huh?
Yeah, well. There's some people like that. We luckily have great people working with us.
Yeah. I give mine a 5. That's right, Olga. I know you're listening, baby. Come home, she busts my chops every day.
Nice.
She, you know, she tells me a week ago I come home. She said, how are you doing?
Mijo!
Head right in the room, try to tune out the world, turn on the computer. And she goes, you know, you do a lot of talking on the radio, but you're not so chatty in person.
Oh, nice.
This is what I need. Gonna go home to this. How much an hour am I paying you to bust my balls? I'm gonna give you another $10 an hour. You stop busting my chops when I come home from a long day's work. Jesus Christ! Then I gotta hear it from my wife, Olga. Olga thinks you're not. You don't. You better be nice. You tell her. Then my wife will actually yell at me in front of the person. Tell her. Tell her you like their stew. Tell her.
I know.
So condescending. Are you nice to your help, David?
Yeah, I mean, they're family.
Oh, they are?
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, so they're listening. I get it.
You have to, like, you know, trust them and, you know, it's probably good that Olga's kind of assertive that way.
So yeah.
She'll take care of your kids.
She's teaching the kids Spanish and how to hate their papa all at the same time. The Tripper, name of your movie, which is out tomorrow at the Man's Chinese Theater, right?
Yeah, it's only at the film festival. We don't have distribution yet, and we're at Scream Fest, which is the largest horror film festival in the U.S.,
mm-hmm.
and the world premiere of the movie is tomorrow.
And that it'll be screened with other horror movies tomorrow?
Well, no. We open the festival tomorrow, and then mm-hmm. the film festival lasts for 10 days,
mm-hmm.
and we still have tickets available.
And you directed this film?
I did.
And this is, you show it, hopefully a couple of big wigs show up, and you get a distributor for the film.
Yeah, we've invited all them. We've invited sort of all our celebrity friends to try to get out there. And
you ever talk to Courtney, though, and go like, look, baby doll, if you would just do a 10-minute cameo in my movie, then we could make a ton of money because it'd be a lot easier to pick up a distributor.
Well, she did do it.
Oh, she did?
In my movie, of course.
Oh, smart.
I called in every single favor I had. Mm-hmm. I have Paul Rubens
mm-hmm.
in
Pee-wee.
My movie. Yeah,
yeah,
he's amazing. He plays Frank Baker, the sort of promoter of this outdoor music festival.
I'm trying to use the phone!
Exactly. And Thomas Jane, who's now my brother-in-law, he's great. He was in the Punisher.
Right. He then
Mickey Mantle too in 61. He's an awesome actor.
Yeah. Well, who did he marry?
He married Patricia.
Oh, he married Patricia.
Yeah, not Alexis.
I remember. Well, you have another sister,
Rosanna.
Yeah, Rosanna. Yeah, she's
there. You go.
She's incredible too.
She's on a show right now.
Yeah,
this
what
is
about
her song,
Brian, which is a fantastic show.
I remember being angry at your sister Patricia Arquette when she showed up to Loveline in a burgundy turbo Porsche. $150,000 car that did 0-60 in like 3.8 seconds. She had a load of laundry in the back of it.
Nice.
And I said, how dare you? How dare you desecrate the sanctity of this beautiful automobile by having it be your grocery getter?
At least she's not blowing up pomegranates in it.
Wow.
There you go.
Touche.
I brought it back. I
got to tell you something. Do not mess with Arquette. He will give you a verbal lashing, the likes of which you'll never forget.
It's something Olga taught me.
Olga. Did you? I was constantly. So my wife treats me like I'm nine. She made stew. Did you thank her for the stew? I told her it was good, but did you thank her? You want to pin something to my sleeve so I don't forget it? I told her the stew was good. I belched. She knew what I meant. David Arquette, much luck to you, my friend.
Thank you.
Let me ask you quickly. I'd like to be invited over to the Arquette house one of these days.
Come on over. I'm serious.
I don't have any celebrity friends.
Can he bring the babies? Your wife likes babies, right?
Definitely.
Coffee's for closers only.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's right. That's right. I do have Alec Baldwin
as
my only celebrity friend. And then some people bring up Kimmel, but I answer them two ways. A, I was friends with him long before he was a celebrity. Then B, celebrity?
Yeah.
You could be one of my three celebrity friends.
Definitely.
We could talk about building.
Yeah.
I could.
Actually, Courtney could, like, you know, be right on the situation.
She likes building.
She
Courtney
loves
Cox.
Building, and she knows all about it. Like, when she gets a whole construction crew there, she's like, you know, we need a closet here. You know, where are the outlets going to be? You can't, you know, run that here. That's going to conflict with the air conditioner. She knows all of it.
Look, I don't want you to answer on the air, but let's face it. Courtney is the builder of the family.
You have
an interest in it.
I have an interest in it, but no.
More that you're interested in not getting a divorce, right?
I have a passing interest in it,
but you're
in other things. Yeah,
yeah. You're no Pops Larson. I mean,
no.
She does the work and the building. And I got to be honest with you, I'm a big builder, but my wife is not so interested in it. Do you see where I'm heading with this?
Yeah, I'm not very manly.
You're a child of the 60s. It's called free love.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, we're both passionate people. I feel like Courtney and I could share a passion for building.
Completely.
A couple weekends out of the year.
Yeah.
And you and my wife could share a passion for not having a passion about building.
This. Wow.
Yeah.
I thought it was
she
just
had the
building.
Twin C-section. She's in good shape. I'm saying, I don't expect you to answer on the air.
Okay.
We certainly could talk off the air, huh?
Yes, sir.
All right. David Arquette, he has the movie The Tripper, which is star-studded, we've just found out, and tomorrow, 7:30 at the Man's Chinese Theater for the kickoff, the big ScreamFest.com. For tickets, go to ScreamFest.com. Yes.
Can I just also say I have a MySpace page? I know everybody does, but it's The Tripper Movie.
Ah, The Tripper Movie. And you can find out more information about it and find out how to get tickets and things like that tomorrow?
Yes.
All right. Thank you very much, David Arquette. What's coming up in the news, T?
Well, David Arquette was just telling me that his big premiere tomorrow night at The Tripper, Tara Reid will be there. There's big news. She's on the cover of Us Weekly with a shocking admission. I'll have that. And also, a woman found a very creative way to sneak drugs into jail.
We'll find out all about that and sports after this.
Here's what's coming up tomorrow morning on the Adam Carolla Show with program director Jack Silver.
Yo, 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 we got a fat show! Tomorrow, tattoo day for our Playboy show! Don King armpit tattoo and a tattoo of tattoo! I pity the fools! WWE's John Cena! Columbo himself, Peter Falk! Hey, hot booking, the kids love Columbo, it's retro! And oh, thank Christ, Playboy's Jesse Jane! Hey, I was worried we were gonna get through the end of the week without any boobies! Sweet, late!
Thanks, Jack. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Hootie and the Blowfish set up, getting ready to play, on their way. We'll do that coming up. But first, the news with Teresa Strasser.
Yesterday at about 2:30 Eastern time, a single-engine plane flew into a condo in New York City on the Upper East Side. As it turns out, in the plane was Yankees pitcher Corey Lytle and a flight instructor. Not clear yet who was flying and who was the passenger. No one was killed except for those two, unfortunately, but 21 people were taken to the hospital, most of them firefighters.
I heard we scrambled jets in Los Angeles, and how does that work? And again, we say this like, hey, we're prepared. To me, it just sounds like our head has been cut off and we're flailing into the wind. Scrambling jets, what is the commanding officer? Hey, you guys getting those F-16s and, you know, make busy. Make with the scrambling. What's going on, Cappy? Piper Cub hit a condo in Soho. Yeah. Well, get up there. What are we looking out for? Just start your scrambling. Start scrambling. I'd like you to go through about 75 grand worth of jet fuel, if you could, please. Start scrambling.
Yes, I'm sure scrambling is quite expensive.
And we should shoot down civilian aircraft or... Look, why are we talking about scrambling when we could be scrambling? Now make with the scrambling.
Yesterday, in New Mexico...
Doesn't it just sound like we're all paranoid and freaked out?
Yeah, I think we are freaked out, especially in New York City, for obvious reasons. I think they tend to react very quickly when there's any sort of plane into a building.
If the terrorists are going to use a two-seat aircraft with no explosives in it to fly it into a condo that nobody lives in... Well, bring it on, I say.
In New Mexico yesterday, a 42-year-old woman was visiting a friend of hers at the county jail. So she just went to say hello to her friend, and she thought, I'm going to bring my friend a burrito.
Mm-hmm.
And the guards thought nothing of it because the two friends were sharing a burrito. Well, the woman named Rosemary Gonzalez, the visitor to the prison, had packed the burrito full of heroin. Now, here's the thing. The guards... did not notice the heroin until they noticed the hypodermic needle that was also inside the burrito. That turned out to be the tell. So
there was a file, a VCR, and a dirigible that was also in there in a helicopter.
But they only noticed the hypodermic needle. So it ended up, she was visiting her friend in jail. She herself ended up in there. They locked her up. Bond is $5,000 cash only.
We may have a front runner for the definitely not a Jew. We got Gonzalez, we got a burrito, we got New Mexico,
heroin.
We got hypodermic, we got heroin. This is now leaped to the top of our definitely not a Jew list.
Another definitely not a Jew, Tara Reid. Now, if you may notice, she's on the cover of Us Weekly at the moment. She is talking about her boob job and some corrective surgery she's had to repair the boob job and also some liposuction that went wrong. Now, here is what happened. She says that the breasts were uneven and she tried to get a 34B, but they gave her a C and the right one was bigger than the left one.
Who gets a boob job and goes B?
I would.
You would?
Sure, it would look, no one would think, oh, she had a boob job. They would just think, she's swollen.
I would just say, especially though, if you're starlet, a blonde starlet in Hollywood, how big a mix-up is there between you and the plastic surgeon? And if you say B, or big B, as she said, what's the difference between a C and a big B?
Not very much. But the thing is, Tara Reid is very tiny, so maybe on her it looked a little top-heavy. But the real problem was the liposuction she had on her stomach. I don't know if you ever saw a picture of it. But
is she 40 and had five kids? Like, what's the deal? Isn't she, was she 25 when she did this?
Yes, very young.
Yeah.
And apparently she, well, reportedly she likes the sauce.
Had a little beer belly on it. A
little bit. So here's what she said. She said, I'm going to fix them. I asked for big Bs, and the surgeon did not give me big Bs. He gave me Cs, and I didn't want them at all. I was on websites as having the ugliest boob job in the world. She continues, I was devastated. Guys I was dating would be like, what's wrong with them? They look really bad. You know, you should really get them fixed. I mean, you definitely had to turn off the lights.
Wow.
Yes. Poor Tara.
I wouldn't turn off the lights. I'd just turn her over. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a creative solution.
A
difficult problem.
So that reminds me of high school. I asked for big Bs. I got Ds. Double Ds.
You didn't ask for the
board.
Double Ds.
Did not ask. Did not sign up for the double Ds, but yet that's what I received.
You are so much smarter than me.
Couple F cups, too, like in biology and driver's ed.
Well, she also admits that she wanted a six-pack, and she got body contouring, which is another way of saying lipo. Mm-hmm. And then she says, quote, my stomach became the most ripply, bulgy thing.
Well, as Dr. Drew used to say, no free lunches in nature.
Yes.
Start messing around with nature. They'll bite you in the ass.
That is well, well put. Mel Gibson on Good Morning America.
That being said, you should get that nose shot.
I knew that was coming.
I mean, come on.
I know, but what if I ruin
the... Nature aside, come on, baby.
I could end up looking worse like Tara. She was fine.
No. Baby, you're beautiful, and we're going to set you up. Don't worry.
How am I going to go on?
How
am I going to go on?
Hold it back.
Pop an Altoid and all is forgiven.
Okay, you're right. Mel Gibson on Good Morning America discussing how he quit drinking, and one thing helped him. Here's what it is.
Even fear, the risk of everything, life, limb, family, is not enough to keep you from it. That's the hell of it. You are indefensible against it. So you must keep that under arrest, in a sense. But you cannot do it of yourself. And people can help, but it's God.
I like the idea that you can be yourself on the road.
Yeah. And by the way, I don't want it to be life and limb. I want it to be limb and life. Let's go ahead and change that. That's how it should work. Who cares about your limbs once you're dead? Limb and then life.
Yes.
Not life and limb.
I agree. I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
Where's the sports?
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
Oakland Athletics in a great deal of trouble after last night's Game 2 loss at home in the American League Championship Series to the visiting Detroit Tigers. 8-5, your final. The two teams do it again tomorrow night. 1-3 in the Motor City. A's better win it, or I don't think they're going to get back to Oakland for a actual Major League ballgame until the spring. Over in the National League, Mets and Cardinals try to get it on tonight. They had Game 1 rained out last night in Queens, New York. NFL football picks coming up for you tomorrow. I'm sure all of you recall the ugliness that was last week with my picks. First ever losing weekend for me. I've been on some kind of hot streak until I went 1-2-1. Hideous. But as bad a week as I had, T.O.'s was even worse. His Dallas Cowboys went into Philadelphia and lost. And shockingly, the usually demure T.O. seems to think it was because he didn't get the ball enough.
For me, I do question, you know, why am I here, you know? And that's not to, you know, to create a story, but it's just like, you know, I want to win. I came here to help this team win.
Well, of course, that goes over big with Coach Bill Parcells. Here's his response.
I don't really want to talk about last week's game, and I'm going to drop the subject. But I will say that there were five more passes directed at him than any other receiver on the team, intent-wise.
Yeah, T.O. could definitely get more catches if he hung on to more balls. He dropped a couple in the end zone, or at least one in the end zone a few weeks earlier. He does, for a great wide receiver, does drop a lot of balls. As a matter of fact, Dave, I don't know what you think about this. He's great after he catches the ball. Maybe he has great separation and he runs great routes. As far as his hands, his actual hands go, somewhere in the middle to below average, would you say?
I suppose that's a fair point. He is the best.
You know what he kind of is in a weird way. He's sort of like what Shaq is on the hardwood, which is a great player, but not so great with the free throws. He has a sort of a weakness to his game. His hands aren't great.
Well, you know, Brian, the sound guy, raises an interesting point. He does have a broken finger right now.
I understand that, Brian. Never raise any more points, please. But
where's the sports?
But before his finger was broken, he did drop quite a few balls as well, mm-hmm. as I recall.
Either way, this marriage is going just swimmingly, even mm-hmm. better than expected.
Parcells just looks like he wants to kill himself.
Yes. As I said before, and I repeat now, I do not think T.O. finishes the season as a Dallas Cowboy.
I don't think
Cowboy.
Parcells finishes the season, period. I think if I pulled Bill Parcells aside and I said, look, Bill, Tuna, Big Tuna. And again, how's your wife doing that with that nickname, Mrs. Tuna? She must be delighted. But Bill, I'll tell you what. If you killed yourself right now, if I could promise you you'd get to heaven, you would not go to hell because you took your own life at your own hands. You kill yourself right now, you wait, open your eyes, next place you're going to be is in heaven with Vince Lombardi and Ronald Reagan and the Gipper. Would you do it? I think he'd gladly do it.
Well, there's a disturbing trend that has been driving me crazy for more than a decade. It's the ads getting more and more into the fields of play. You know, it started with the Nike ads showing up on the jerseys and everything. Mm-hmm. Then the stadiums got in on the act, naming themselves after companies. Petco Park down in San Diego. Louisville Cardinals playing Papa John's Stadium. Oh. Awful. Arizona Cardinals apparently came close to naming their new stadium the Pink Taco. That would have been the worst one yet.
It's now Moose Knuckle.
Now Major League Soccer, the MLS, is set to become the first major sports league in the U.S. to put ads on the fronts of players' jerseys.
Well, I guess they've been doing it in Europe for a while, right?
Yes, I suppose, but it is an ugly trend. And now women's tennis has raised the bar even further. A devilishly clever new ad campaign has signed on Maria Sharapova. You know, she mm-hmm. usually grunts when she hits the ball. Now, take a listen to what she's doing.
Pepsi! Doritos! Big Mac! Well, my Jenny Pricer, your mattress is free!
That's awful.
Why, though?
Dave Damashek's number one sports!
All right. Well, it looks like Hootie and his blowfish are all here. We have all the mics set up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Jeez, there's 7 mics set up. They're going to be playing live for us, so we'll talk to them, and we'll hear from them after this.
Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. Right now, Hootie and the Blowfish play live. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
All right. Fresca, whatever you're going to say, save it. Hootie and the Blowfish are here. Gary, Sony, Dean, Darius, Mark, and Peter. And I didn't read that. I know the band that well. Good to see you guys.
Hey, Adam, how you doing?
What's happening?
I must say this about Hootie and the Blowfish. I heard a story that Cracked Rearview, which sold 16 million copies. Cracked Rearview was a line from a John Hiatt song.
Uh-huh. Yep.
True.
And I thought, wow, that's cool, because I know the song it's from, and I think I brought it in. You have it? Is it Learning How to Love You?
Yeah,
there's a great line. Although everything sounds like hell that we play in our and our equipment. Well, let me hear it for a second.
Heard it for
There's a great line where he says there was this life that I was living in some crack, in some cracked rear view. It's a great line. And you guys, he sold 50,000 copies of Bring the Family, and you guys sold 16 million of the album that it was named after the lyric.
We actually took him out on the road with us.
Oh, you did? Can we pot up Darius's mic a little bit there? You took Hyatt out on the road with you.
Yeah, it was awesome. He did a whole summer with us, and it was just a great, it was one of the few times that every night all four of us was at the show for the opening band and just standing at the side of the stage like, wow, this guy is awesome.
Yeah, it must be nice. I mean, as a headliner, you get to pick who's going to come out with you, obviously. But it must be nice to enjoy the music of the guy who's coming out with you.
Yeah, we've had some really cool acts over the years, been fortunate to have bands that we're fans of opening for us.
Is there anybody that wasn't so big 8 years ago, 10 years ago when they went out with you and now is huge, like Led Zeppelin or the Beatles?
Train.
Oh, Train,
yeah,
right.
Train out, yeah.
Nobody knew who they were when you brought them out.
Yeah, and they got Edwin McCain is another one that we brought out on, and he blew up a little bit, yeah.
You guys are going to play live for us, yes?
Yes. We're going to do a song off our new DVD called State Your Peace.
But first, a little John Hyatt.
There was a life that I was living.
Yeah, go. Hold on, where's my lighter?
No lighters, please.
Ready?
All right, here we go. Hootie and the Blowfish.
State Your Peace.
Oh, State Your Peace. 1, 2, 3, 4.
While my always last one to say how I feel, it's like driving down the
That's your piece off the new CD, Hootie and the Blowfish live in Charleston. That sounded great, guys. We're going to take a quick break, and then you guys are going to play an oldie but a goodie for us, yes?
Absolutely.
All right. Got to heat Darius's mic up just a little bit. We'll take a... Oh, we have no more breaks. Oh, am I wrong? Oh, Brasket, I thought we were taking a break there.
Well, no more breaks?
No, well, that's it. Ever?
Good job. Well, I want one more. That was so great.
You guys got another song for us?
Sure, absolutely. We actually were going to play another one, but you guys requested this one, so we're going to do it.
Oh, really? Yeah. All right. Well, so be it. Was that Brian, by the way?
Yeah,
was that? Well, what song were you going to play just so we can be pissed off at Brian?
We were going to do Only Want to Be With You, but, you know.
Well, it's a good song.
This one's Brian's request is even better, I think.
Yeah, all right.
She's living on my lamppost, trying to find a thought that's escaped her mind. She says that the one I love the most says Michael Stipe, no, he ain't far behind. She never lets me in. Tell me where she's been when she's had too much to drink. I say that I don't care, I just run my hands through her dark hair, and I pray to God, help me fly away. Said let her cry. If the tears fall down like rain, if it eases all her pain, let her go. Walk right out on me. If the sun comes out tomorrow, let her be down. Let her be. Said maybe, 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 maybe I'll be back someday. Yeah, like a fool, I wanted to look for you. You walked in, I didn't know just what I should do. So I sat back down with a case of Bud and a bottle of Jim Beam, and I felt sorry for me. Said let her cry. The tears fall down like rain. Let her say. If it eases all her pain, let her go. Walk right out on me right now. And if the sun comes out tomorrow, let her be now, let her be. Tomorrow, let her be now. Last night I tried to leave, cried so much I cannot believe she was the same girl. Fell in love with long ago. She went in the back to get high. I said, right down on my couch and cried. And oh, mama, please help me. Won't you hold my hand and let her cry? Tears roll down like rain. Let her say. Now, and if the sun comes out tomorrow, that'll be, let her cry. If the tears fall down like rain, let her sing. Yeah, it eases all her pain, let her go. I walked out on her, I loved her, you see. And if the sun comes up tomorrow, let her be, no, 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 let her be.
Wow, nice job, Brian. Good call. Hootie and the Blowfish in studio, live in Charleston. Name of the DVD, name of the CD. Brian, sound effects guy Brian, did you dream when I met you 5 years ago and you were phone screening for Loveline, you were fat, bald, you drove a beat-up pickup truck, did you ever believe that someday soon Hootie and the Blowfish would be standing in front of you and you'd be requesting songs?
Not much has changed since then, and I officially tender my resignation because that's as good as it's going to get.
Manipulating them like puppets, screaming, dance, little man. Dance for the sound effects guy. Speaking of Hootie and the Blowfish, you guys, now, I'm curious how it works. Is everyone set for life because of all the millions of record sales? Do you guys play because you want to, because you have to, because you enjoy it, because it's in your blood? What's the story?
I think we definitely play because we want to. I mean, I think we all could not work and live a life, but I don't know if we could live the life we're living now if we stop working.
Really?
Yeah, you know, everybody's doing. We made a lot of money.
Did you have the publishing rights and all that stuff?
Yeah, you know, we had the rights to all that stuff, and you know, we wrote all the songs and all the records, so it's all split four ways. So,
oh, really?
Yeah. So
stupid.
We're okay.
I mean, that was rude. Yeah. Well, some bands, the drummer is selling oranges by the side of the freeway.
That was one of the reasons we did it the way we did it, is because we're a band, we're really a band, and we didn't want it to be that way. We wanted to all, profit from our music.
How did you guys...
they know I'm not a good orange seller, so they felt kind of bad.
You guys have been together for how long?
21 years.
21 years, so the Crack Review was 94, so you'd been around for a number of years, obviously, before then.
Like 9 years we were together.
And how did it all start?
We were in college. Me and Mark lived in the same dorm hall. Dean lived in the hall above us. And, Mark heard me singing in my dorm room and told me he'd play guitar. And I was like, oh, let's jam. And the funny thing is, the first day we knew a lot of the same songs. And so we were like, hey, let's jam. And now we're still a band.
I just feel like I should interject here to any of the young college kids that are listening. Don't do this. It's not gonna. You're not gonna sell 16 million
albums.
Absolutely,
I agree.
I don't want you to inspire anybody. You kids work hard and then go to work for the man.
Exactly.
That's what you do.
Get a job with daddy.
That's right. Or worse, father-in-law. Yeah. Wears the three-piece suits and doesn't care about polluting the rivers just as long as he can turn a buck. That's where you people need to do. There's no way this band thing's ever gonna work out. You shouldn't tell that story, by the way. It's very dangerous. So you guys start playing in town at the bars, at the local dives and the digs, and then it just takes off. Where does the break come?
We were playing, like I said, we were banned for 9 years before the record deal came, and we were playing everywhere from New York down to Florida, and just every 6 weeks you hit the same bars. Mm-hmm. Every 6 weeks, and we were doing well. We're making, I guess the year before we signed, we all made pretty good livings the year before we got a record deal.
Were you doing a lot of cover stuff back then or
not
a lot of original stuff?
At the very beginning we were doing cover stuff, but I guess around when Sony joined us in 88, 89, it was when we decided we wanted to be a, write our own songs.
The orange selling drummer.
yeah. Actually, the funny thing about Sony is he joined us in 89 and the first song he brings to us was Hold My Hand.
Oh, really? So
take it back,
Adam. Yeah, we're like, you're right. You can play.
All right.
Aren't you sorry you said that?
No, I'm not.
Oh, that's funny. I will upgrade you to peanuts. a much higher profit margin on the peanuts. So, I know at the point, if you drive through L.A., you now see entire produce sections spread out over city blocks. It's really, I thought I was driving through a farmer's market. I was just in East L.A. A couple old people dragging under my bumper. So, thank you. So, yeah, it's a great town to break down in if you have low blood sugar. You need a melon, a basket of strawberries, get a pig in a blanket. It's really everything. Every shopping cart's just been modified into a grill with a propane tank on it. Come down to L.A. You don't need to go to the restaurant. Step outside your apartment door. You can eat. You eat big. And it's funny, too, because everyone out here in L.A. will look at the grade on a restaurant, and they'll be like, I don't know, B? I don't know. I don't know if I can eat in that. 10 minutes later, they're eating a pig in a blanket off the street from some guys being chased with a butterfly net. And there's, God knows what's in this soft taco this guy's just handed you with his filthy hand of just eating it right up, washing it down with a nice horchata the guy made in his own backyard.
And then you get peanuts from the drummer from Hootie and the Blowfish. Right. Unbelievable.
Well, I'll tell you, that would be a feather in your cap. Jeez, I think that guy was from Hootie and the Blowfish.
These are the best peanuts I ever had.
My bag's a little short.
So, you guys, now, are you playing, or is there some concert dates? Is there some plugs you want me to give out other than go out and get the live CD? And it's a live CD, yeah. DVD, right?
So exactly.
It's like going to a Hootie and the Blowfish concert if you pick up the DVD.
Yes,
especially if you have a 60-inch HD. You know.
Yeah, if you got a 60-inch HD.
Or
it really works.
A 13-inch and a bong.
Same thing.
Either way, you're there.
Do the math. Same thing.
I would do it. See, it's either 60-inch sober or some nice spleef and a 13-inch black and white. You'll be there. Hootie and the Blowfish, you guys were great.
Thank you.
I was happy to hear you come in here, and you sound amazing.
Thanks,
you
man.
Really do. And
I'm a big fan, by the way. You're really funny. You're a really funny guy.
Really?
Yeah. No matter what anybody says, we think you're fine.
Thank you. Well, maybe when I get married again, you guys will play my way.
I mean, again.
It'd be great. Bring John Hyatt with you. Oh. What a love fest we'll have. Thanks a lot, guys. That was awesome. Hootie and the Blowfish live in Charleston. Go out and get the DVD, get the CD. I want to thank James McGreevy, gay governor, and David Arquette, Hootie and the Blowfish. You want to talk about range? Show's got range today. So until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo.